much about.
You got to put it in perspective.
We win so radically in our underwear before our first cup of coffee. It's scary.
Did somebody order a hooker over here?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Coming up, a very special video presentation called Even My Tongue is Fat. But right now, to begin with, let's start things off in our telethon with a song.
I am queen of the lesbians, queen of the lesbians. I am queen of the lesbians.
So you like show tunes. Doesn't mean you're gay. It just means you're awful.
Hi, kids. Welcome to the magical world of stories, where horses can fly and the animals talk. And wishes come true at the blink of an eye.
And now,
next stop, Suckville.
Our feature presentation.
Lisa May, how you doing?
Speaking of, I'm
yeah,
good.
Speaking of Suckville, wow.
Why does anybody ever get back on the train when they get off there? Why don't they just stay there?
You would live in Suckville
wouldn't
if you could, right?
Of course. How are you doing, by the way?
Something similarly titled The Next Stop Down the Train, in which case maybe you go there instead.
Good point. That is a good point.
In the words of Gary Busey, to get us started on an all-new Kevin and Bean show for a Monday. Oh, I'm going to love him on Celebrity Apprentice. I'm going to love the next 12 weeks of Gary Busey.
Now it was on too late for me last night, so I taped it.
I hope you did, and I hope you're going to watch it.
Delicious?
Well, we'll talk about it coming up next hour. Because, you know, for the last 3 weeks, all we've seen are the bitchin' fights between Star Jones and NeNe, whoever the hell she is, and between Meatloaf and Gary Busey, neither of which happened on last night's show. They really sucked you in thinking there was going to be all that.
Right.
But it was still great, and Gary Busey is still as crazy as ever. So I'm very excited about that.
I love it.
What happened to the eye candy? What's with beer mug? That's a downgrade. What the hell is beer mug doing here?
Well, we have Mike here. The pretty one's here.
Oh, hey, Mike.
For the moment.
Hey, what's happening? How you doing?
Mike swung on by on his way to rehearse for America's number one show, Dancing with the Stars. We're going to talk to him coming up in a few minutes. Now, I was on vacation last week, so I missed the announcement. I saw it at home, but I missed the fun of being on the air and talking to Mike about him being on Dancing with the Stars. So I have many, many questions for him about how this works.
Yeah, it's a strange deal.
it must be so weird for you to get up in the morning and go dance. I mean, that has not exactly been your life.
Yeah, I mean, but that weirdness goes away real quick. Because then you realize very quickly, I'm going to have to do this on television very soon. So you better start focusing.
Yeah, you know? it gets real, real.
Yeah, it's true.
And Mug, how are you, man?
I'm hanging in there, Bean, making sure I don't blow up the station.
I heard that in your first week subbing for Psycho Mike, you did manage to get the F word on the air last week. Is that true?
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Consider that ideal? Is that what you plan to bring to the party?
I don't plan to do that, but it was just a moment of panic.
I thought when I heard that happened, I checked in with Omar. I said, how's Muggs doing? I tried to check in every day last week. And he says, oh, he's great. He yelled the F word on the air. I was mad because I thought you just yelled it for fun, for entertainment's sake. No. And then I found out how it went down, and I said, oh, this is awesome. Things are going great.
Well, I think I need to hear that story later. Now, the one thing I do want to hear, and I apologize to those who were listening last week, but since I was on vacation, I was not. But I saw a lot of emails about apparently a fantastic Kevin the Interview Killer moment that I missed. And I'm usually the guy who's the interview killer. I'm usually the guy who asks the question of the celebrity we have on, and the room just goes silent, and the celebrity vows secretly in his or her head to never come on the show again.
Yeah.
So apparently it happened last week. Now, who are you all talking to? Was it Anna Faris?
It was Anna Faris.
From Take Me Home Tonight. Now, I have not heard this yet, but I have heard about it, so I'd like to enjoy that, please, before we move on with today's new show.
You are one of those performers that I find no matter what kind of project you're in, you always deliver, and it's always fun to see you on the screen.
Oh, thank you very much. That is really, really generous of you.
Without being insulting, there are some actors and actresses that are great, whether they're in a good movie or not, I think is what he's saying. But
I think I said
it nicer.
You
quite
said
frankly.
It better?
Yes, I think I did.
Did I make it worse?
No, you did. You made it much worse.
I'm sorry, Anna.
Kevin the Interview Killer.
So is this his way of saying, you're good, but boy, does your movie look crappy?
Yes. That's awesome. Apparently needed to be said, according to Kevin.
Wow, it's a good thing you're talented because no one else in this movie is. Woo, sure wouldn't want to go see that stinker.
The weird part about that interview killer is that usually you mean one thing and it comes out a different way. Ralph clearly had that taken care of. There was no need for Kevin to go. Yeah.
Point was made.
Completely.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's funny.
He was amazing.
All right, let's talk about today's all-new show.
I can't process it.
First of all, yes, we will recap The Celebrity Apprentice for you last night, which is back and does look like it's going to be awesome. Speaking of TV, our friend Dr. Drew, not a real doctor, has a special on tonight on VH1. He is doing an hour on the Charlie Sheen case.
No kidding.
Diagnosing Charlie Sheen from afar, apparently. And nothing ticks Charlie Sheen off more than that, by the way, to have doctors who haven't treated him have an opinion on what he's doing.
Well, I think everyone that wigs out like Charlie gets pretty upset when Dr. Drew does that, but he does it anyway.
Yeah,
he does
awesome.
It anyway.
And according to Charlie Sheen on his live stream, Dr. Drew is the king of all people who wish they were Charlie Sheen.
So we'll discuss that with the doctor, but the special is on tonight. Also, speaking of actresses that are great in everything, no matter how good or bad the project, the beautiful Judy Greer will be here in the studio with us on the Kevin
Awesome.
Show today. Oh, I love her so much. Let me see what else we got. Oh, two words, April and foolishness come to mind today.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right around the corner. A lot of people have been asking about that. We'll talk to one of the young contestants on Dancing with the Stars, debuting in a couple of weeks on ABC. I'm not familiar with this Mike Catherwad, but he's going to be joining us.
That's a good point,
Let me see. What else we got? TMZ.com. Harvey Levin's going to be on, recapping Charlie Sheen and everything else that happened over the weekend. And is that it? Am I missing anything else? Ralph returns from New York City. He was on stage at Radio City Music Hall this weekend.
Yeah. Cool.
With his friend Kevin Smith's new movie called Red State, where they screened it and had a question and answer afterwards. So he flew out to New York for the weekend. I'm very excited to hear how that went. I'm sure that was awesome. So we got all of that. And I think the Wheel O' Bad Animal Voices may force its way onto the schedule as well, too. So that and Ralph's first Showbiz Beat when we return right after this on the Kevin and Beat. Not the best decision you ever made, but you are listening to the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ at 547. It is Monday on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph Garman joins us in studio. How was New York City, man?
It was exhausting.
That's a whirlwind trip to go coast to coast in a weekend.
Yeah, but it was a blast. We had a great time. Almost 4,000 people showed up at Radio City Music Hall.
Dude, anyone ask for their money back?
No.
No. Oh, that's good. That's a good sign.
They were all there to see Red State, Kevin Smith's new film that I have a small role in, and then afterwards we did a big Q&A up on the stage for the people who showed up, and boy, it was a blast. It was John Goodman, who's also one of the stars of the movie, who I didn't get a chance to work with in the film, so it was nice to finally meet him and hang out. What a great guy he is.
He's a great actor, too.
He is a great actor, and he is everything you hope he would be when you watch him on TV. You say, God, he seems like a good guy. He's even nicer in person, so
That
was
awesome.
Cool. And Melissa Leo, my Oscar-winning wife, was there.
Did she bring her Oscar?
She did not.
That would have been funny.
That would have been funny if she walked out with it. And Stephen Root and the whole gang was there, except for Michael Parks, the big star, because he doesn't like to fly. So, but we're doing.
Oh, is that true? Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
But we're doing it again. Kevin's doing it all over the place. And then we're going to do another one here in Los Angeles on April 9th at the Wiltern, so that should be fun.
Awesome.
But to be up on stage at Radio City was pretty cool. You look out on that in that house, and it's 6,000 seats. Mm-hmm. And then the stage itself it's like a football stadium. It's just huge. It's so deep and large, and they've got all these gears and pulleys, because that's where they do the big Christmas spectacular every year in New York City. And, of course, the Rockettes have been there for many years. So it was very cool to be part of that.
Hey, it's funny. I know we're talking about Celebrity Apprentice coming up after the top of the hour, and they even made a point last night of saying this is one of the biggest and most revered stages in show business. If you're playing Radio City, you've got something going on.
Yeah.
So that's very exciting that you now have done that.
Yeah, I was really glad I went. But a little worse for wear, but I'll do what I can.
All right.
I'll start off by giving some tickets away. How about that? I've got passes to the red carpet premiere of a brand new movie called The Lincoln Lawyer, starring my old pal Matthew McConaughey.
Now, he's your old pal because of Two for the Money.
That's right. We did Two for the Money together, yeah.
be a lot cooler if we didn't. And you you trained him, if I remember. You're the one who got him on the fitness tip.
Yeah, he looked at my body and said, how can I look like you? And I said, well, here you go. Let me put you give me some tips and I'll work
out
with
you. He was a blob up until then.
Oh, he was a fat slob, but I got him in shape for that film. And it looks like he stayed with the program, which makes me proud. You know, maybe with a little more work, he can look like me someday. It is happening at the Arclight Theater in Hollywood, California. One of my favorite places to see a movie. It's happening on Thursday, March the 10th. That's this Thursday, isn't it?
I'm going to say yes.
Yeah.
Golly gosh, that's quick. If you'd like to go, three pairs of passes right now. First three callers at 1-800-520-1067. We'll get a pair of passes to attend the red carpet world premiere of Lincoln Lawyer with not only Matthew, but Marissa Tomei and Josh Lucas and William H. Macy, Ryan Phillippe.
Dude,
good cast. Apparently, I did not read the book, but apparently it was a smash hit best-selling novel, so for a lot of fans of it. Speaking of movies, it's Monday, so we look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Number one was Rango, Johnny Depp's animated film about a little lizard who becomes a hero. I don't even know what that means. $38 million.
I didn't get the gist of that one from the ads. I don't really. Is it an Old West tale or something?
I think apparently, yeah. He's like a chameleon, I guess, who is domesticated, lives in an aquarium.
Okay.
And he's traveling with his family, and accidentally he gets left behind, apparently in the Old West, and that's when he becomes a hero.
And it's based on a true story,
yes,
from what I understand.
Yes. The Adjustment Bureau was second at the box office, $20.9 million in its debut. Then Beastly came in at number three. Hall Pass was fourth. Gnomeo and Juliet was fifth. Unknown, The King's Speech, Just Go For It, I Am Number Four, and Justin Bieber, Never Say Never, rounded out your top ten at the box office this weekend. Our buddy Topher Grace's film Take Me Home Tonight debuted at 11, just with $3.5 million this weekend, which makes me sad because I like that movie and I like Topher a lot.
I hear Anna Faris is good in even bad movies.
Oh,
that's what I hear.
Even if your movies suck, you're good. Thanks for clarifying that, Kevin. More movie news. This is sad. Things are bad enough for this girl. Rubina Ali is her name. She was the child actress who starred in Slumdog Millionaire.
Oh, yeah.
Remember, she was the younger version of the smoking hot...
Frida Pinto.
Frida Pinto, yes. Apparently, the one-room shack that she lives in with her parents caught fire and burned down.
Mm.
So she is homeless. She said not only now is she without a home, her and her family, but it destroyed all of her belongings and personal keepsakes, including photos that she had taken during her trip to the Oscars. So, it's bad news.
Yeah, she probably made a few hundred dollars as an actress in that movie, which was probably a lot of money for her at the time, but it's hardly like she's set up for life because of Slumdog Millionaire. I mean, she's kind of back to her old life that we saw a lot of news stories on at the time that movie was being made. I mean, she was one of those kids who's just pulled right out of the projects, right?
And then put right back in after the movie was over.
Yeah, sad.
They'd have given her a little piece of it or something, couldn't they?
Who's the director, Ralph, of that movie?
Danny Boyle.
He bought a... I heard yesterday that he bought a house, and they're going to be able to stay there.
Oh, that's
in
nice.
The area, yeah.
You know,
happy ending.
I'm sure it's like a two-room shack.
For
but,
a reasonable
you know.
Rent, though, right?
I'm sure.
I mean...
if nothing's free,
nobody
baby.
Rides for free. It's gas, grass, or ass. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Congratulations to Mike Myers, Austin Powers, International Man of Mystery, and the Love Guru. Let's not forget he was the Love Guru.
Sure.
He got married over the weekend to his longtime girlfriend, Kelly Tisdale. Apparently, they... it didn't happen over the weekend. They were married last fall.
Oh.
The news broke this weekend. They were married last fall in a private ceremony that was celebrated by family and friends, and congratulations. Well, divorcing, however, is baseball legend Pete Rose. He and his wife of 26 years, Carol, apparently are splitting up, which is okay, because Pete had the under regarding his marriage. It was 30 years. He took the under. Laid some heavy coin on that, and apparently he's coming out of it all right, so it all works
See,
out.
Lisa, he's famous for betting.
I know that.
David Arquette made headlines Friday after the show. We didn't get a chance to talk about it. He was in a head-on collision here in Los Angeles. Isn't it funny when you sober up, that's when you get in the accident?
Yeah.
He must be so pissed. Photographers for TMZ spotted him bleeding as paramedics took him away from the crash, but everything's just fine. He tweeted the news that he was uninjured after being treated at the hospital. Says he has stayed sober. Even refused all pain medication at the hospital when they took him there. And I guess he's competing with Charlie Sheen because he tweeted that he has dragon's blood running through his veins.
Whoa.
Now, does dragon's blood, does that trump tiger blood? Or is there
I think so.
You think dragons?
I would think so
more
too, except
tiger?
Dragons are extinct though, and tigers have survived, so maybe you gotta give the nod to the tiger.
Or is dragon blood so rare and so special because they're extinct, and that's why it wins
over
the tiger
too.
Blood. Yeah. Everybody tired of Charlie Sheen?
Bring it.
It is. Yeah. I miss the bulk of it, and it made me sad because it sounded like last week was a lot of fun with all the Sheen stuff. His first interview that he gave to Dan Patrick was only 2 weeks ago. This whole thing, all of this nonsense with Charlie Sheen has all happened in 14 days, yet people do seem to already be turning on it.
Well, it's the saturation point. He was everywhere all the time and not really adding anything new to the conversation, just more screaming about winning and goddesses and tiger's blood. And now he's kind of like merchandised it, and he's turned it into some sort of cottage industry.
He's got sponsors for his Ustream broadcast. When he announced that he was going to do that Ustream show from his house with him and his friends on Saturday night, I thought, what can he have left to say?
Nothing.
I mean, is there anything new that Charlie Sheen wants to get off his chest? He's had ample opportunity to talk, right? And sure enough, I tuned in anyway, and sure enough, he had nothing to say. He is out.
But he's winning, right?
He claims he's winning, but he has lost his kids and his job in the last 2 weeks, and I don't know how winning that is.
Show opened apparently on Ustream Saturday night at 7 p.m. by Charlie Sheen saying, "Welcome from my big, beautiful warlock brain to Sheen's Corner. Either you're in my corner or you're with the trolls." And then he showed off his new tattoo on his wrist, which of course is the word winning.
It's corner with a K, by the way.
Yeah, corner with a K.
It sure is.
Yeah.
How soon till he regrets the winning tattoo? And that goes for everybody else out there who thought it was awesome and ran out and got a tattoo thinking they'd love it forever.
Well, King of Mexico nailed it last week when he said winning is the new O Behave from Austin Powers. It's really, you got a short shelf life for people winning. Actually enjoying saying that.
Winning.
Here's where Charlie Sheen is at. This is the actual barometer of what's going on in Sheen's life. Gary Busey is worried about him. People.com did an interview with Busey over the weekend for the kickoff party of Celebrity Apprentice, and he said, "I want Charlie to get up out of the mud and reclaim his life. I'm praying for him. He's in a tailspin." If Gary Busey thinks that you're going down the drain, you might want to take a good long.
Yeah, that should be terrifying to Charlie Sheen right now.
Yeah. By the way, I thought it was funny. PopEater.com mentioned that all of the major news organizations have already prepared their obituaries for Charlie. Their tape packages to run when it finally goes.
Wow.
Yeah, they're already in the can, so.
What do you think of him as an actor, though? I mean, given the right project, could he still impress us with that part of his life instead, Ralph?
Oh. At this point, I don't think so. I always thought he was a serviceable actor when cast in the right projects.
But not really
outstanding.
Could you see him in a Hangover-type comedy, though, where he continues to kind of play off his image and deliver, you know, comedy lines?
What could be broader and more ridiculous a comedy than what we've seen in the past 2 weeks?
Well, maybe
How do you write a script that's more insane than what we've all witnessed?
And he believes he's a great actor. I mean, how many times have you seen him throw on? Yeah, I was in Platoon when I was 20. That movie won the Best Picture Oscar. I wasn't even trying. I mean, he really believes that it's just a matter of time before he wins his Oscar. For
magic. He's got magic at his fingertips.
Bring it.
And he turns tin cans into gold. I'm so fed up. By the way, Paris Hilton, she must be so desperate. She must be so upset that everyone's getting more attention than she is. She tweeted this weekend, I kid you not, that she has tiger blood and is winning.
Oh my God.
Me too. I'm winning too. I have tiger blood too. Over here. You. Anyone? Anyone? Then she passed out. Today's celebrity birthdays: Laura Prepon.
Yeah.
One of my favorite young comic actresses. She was so good on That 70s Show. And now they've saddled her with the new Chelsea Handler sitcom, which is sad for Laura. And I said when I heard about the news, it's based on her book, Are You There, God? It's Me, Vodka, or whatever the F it's called. Laura Prepon was cast, and I said, oh, this is good, because now we'll get a chance to see, it's based on Chelsea's life as a young Chelsea Handler, we'll get to see what Chelsea would have been like if she was young and attractive and talented. And then they told me that Chelsea Handler will be playing her own older sister in the sitcom.
Yeah.
And I said, well, now I won't be able to watch now. Jenna Fisher's 37 years old today. Rachel Weisz celebrates her 40th birthday. Actor Bryan Cranston, how good is he over there on that Breaking Bad, people?
He's the best.
He is awesome. 55 years old today. Actor John Hurd, also very talented, is 65. And comedian Wanda Sykes celebrates her 47th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Mumford & Sons, also Incubus, Social D, coming up on the world-famous K-Rock. It's 106.7 KROQ at 6:07. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. Last night was the night. Hey, why don't I hear the music? Beer mug, hit that down. There you go. Last night was the night, the return of Celebrity Apprentice. And I am loath to agree with Donald Trump, Lisa, but I think he may be right that this is the best cast ever for Celebrity Apprentice. I think it's going to be an unbelievable season. Got the Donald on the phone with us right now on The Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Mr. Trump, how are you, sir?
Highest rated season opening show ever in the history of television.
Well,
Super
I don't...
Super Bowl-like numbers last
I
night
don't,
for Celebrity Apprentice.
I don't believe that we...
Out of 100 households in America, 400 people were watching the show. There were actually more viewers than there are televisions.
Okay, I know that you are prone to hyperbole, but I don't believe the ratings are in for last night's Celebrity Apprentice, although I enjoyed it very much. Congratulations on another season.
Until the ratings come in, I'm saying it was the highest grossing rating TV series ever in the history of televised entertainment.
Now, let's talk about some of your contestants this year. It's always an interesting mix of people. I mean, anytime you have, Little John and LaToya Jackson on a show, I sit up and take notice.
Huge stars.
Well, I'm sure there were other people like Lindsay Lohan you would have much rather had, but you go with who you got. And one of the interesting things that I learned last night is about Star Jones. As you met the contestants at Radio City Music Hall, here's what she had to say about the charity she was playing for and why.
Mr. Trump, I am playing for the American Heart Association.
Right.
I had open heart surgery 7 months ago. They cut my chest open and took my heart out for 22 minutes. I figure I can put up with this for a little bit of time.
And you look great.
Okay, look, I know your job is to be nice. Star Jones has never looked great, Donald
Trump.
Come on.
Oh, she's gorgeous. She's a beautiful, beautiful woman.
No! Why would you say that?
I'm contractually obligated.
And we were so close to losing her. Who's the a-hole doctor that saved her life?
I'm stunned she had a heart. Who knew? They opened up a chest and found one.
And I had no idea your connection to the Jackson family, but here's LaToya talking about her charity.
I am playing, of course, for AIDS Project Los Angeles, which was a charity that my brother was very close to.
Well, you know very well that your brother was a good friend of mine, a real friend.
Yes, I do.
And he lived in Trump Tower, so we had a good time.
Thank you so very much for that.
Tell me about that, Donald. Tell me about you and Michael Jackson being good friends.
Michael Jackson was my best friend ever.
I don't think so.
We used to hang out together since we were kids. We'd play in a treehouse.
No?
And then we'd swim in the old creek down by the old mill stream. And when we got older, we would hang out and go after chicks together.
Okay. None of that is true. You never met the man, did you?
Yeah, he would send me a check.
For the rent. Mm-hmm. Exactly. That was it. All right. So as you've done in seasons past, you separated the teams up into men versus women. And the first thing they do is they come up with a project leader and then they come up with a name. Now, the men decided they were going to be Backbone. The women decided that they were going to call their team ASAP. Here's LaToya in the boardroom telling us what ASAP stands for.
LaToya, what is your name?
Our team name is ASAP.
And does that mean as soon as possible?
No, actually, it doesn't.
Because it could.
No, yes, it means indeed. Actors, singers, authors, and performers with a purpose.
Say it one more time. It's artists.
Artist.
So right. We want to do it
we
one more
be
time.
Artist.
Right. And professionals, Marlon.
Singers, actors.
Mm-hmm. Authors.
Authors, I'm sorry, authors.
That's okay. Go ahead.
Artist, singers, authors, and performers with a purpose.
Professionals.
I keep forgetting
it's all right.
Professionals.
Don't worry about it.
Pretty good stuff there, right, Donald?
Worst team name in the history of Celebrity Apprentice.
I mean, really, right?
If you have to write it on your hands, it's not a good name when you try to remember what it is. It's ASAP. She's ASAP. That's what she is.
There you go. Well, the task for both teams is they are going to be opening pizza parlors. They're going to be running a pizza parlor in different parts of New York for the day and raise as much money as they can for charity. So John Rich, who, by the way, country music fan, are you, Donald Trump?
Oh, I love both Rascal and Flat.
So you were riding a horse and saving a cowboy and all that nonsense with John Rich last night.
Oh, yes.
So he and Little John are talking about how they're going to, go out and publicize the guys in their pizza parlor. And they're trying to figure out, hey, what to do with Gary Busey? How can they work Gary Busey in on their team? What's his skill?
The whole time I know Little John and I were thinking about how can we plug Gary into this situation. All of a sudden, Gary goes into this crazy preacher rant about pizza.
You have that look on your face that you look like you need to be saved.
Get in here and buy a pizza for $100 and you'll go straight to heaven. And I'll take out your garbage for a week.
See?
You get this pizza,
like
you'll see the Spirit
preacher
of God come down to you.
Like a three-piece
suit. That's
great.
And I tell you this, you won't be happy unless you get off your knees and you say, thank you, pizza pie. And you want to buy a pizza pie for charity.
What's up with Gary Busey, Donald?
The pepperoni prophet.
That's what he called himself,
that's
right?
That's right. He was out there converting the masses in New York City, having them come in buying pizza for charity. Amazing, amazing performance by a deeply, deeply brain-damaged man.
Yes, it's kind of sad to put him on TV,
isn't it? It's the saddest thing I've ever done. He tries to talk, and we laugh at him.
We are talking to the great Donald Trump about Celebrity Apprentice back on NBC last night. A couple more clips. Of course, there's a lot of tension every time teams like yours have to work together. David Cassidy did not seem like he got along with his team leader, Richard Hatch, who, of course, was the winner of the first Survivor. David Cassidy, who's a little guy, I didn't know this, only weighs 140 pounds. Here's what he had to say about his interaction with Richard Hatch.
I've worked with a lot of large egos over the last 40 years, but putting your hands and pushing somebody is rule one. You do not ever do that. It's disrespectful and it's arrogant.
What'd you think about that, about David Cassidy getting whipped like a little bitch, Donald?
I felt bad for David Cassidy. Huge, huge star, original teen heartthrob. This man has worked with Danny Bonaducci. Hasn't he had enough pain in his life? And now he's got to work with Richard Hatch.
And then over on the women's side, the beautiful Oscar-winning actress Marley Matlin is there, and she's registering some complaints about Star Jones, who's her team leader when they're trying to make pizza. Star Jones is giving her a hard time about being out on the road trying to deliver pizzas, not getting back in time. And there's one thing that really surprised me about Marley Jones.
We called Star, and she yelled at us, and I was at a loss for words. Because traffic in New York, I don't think anybody estimated how it would be.
I had no idea her voice was so deep. That was so troubling
to
me. Every time she would talk like that.
No, that is her translator. She needs a translator because she speaks with her hands.
She sounds like a dude. I don't know. It was pretty crazy. All right, so the women win the challenge. The guys are in the boardroom, and Donald Trump, you are asking the guys what they could have done better because they did not win the challenge. They did not make the most money for charity. Gary Busey, I think, had some really good ideas of how the team could have improved its progress.
What could your team have done better?
What we could have done better was everything we did on the day of the task.
What does that mean?
That means we did better.
Okay, well, I have no idea what that means, but I'm going with it.
I don't know.
You have any idea what he's talking about, Donald?
Winning. He's got tiger's blood.
And this was after Gary Busey's phone went off in the boardroom, and he could not figure out how to turn it off, which was also very funny. Well, it came down to you had to fire one of the guys, and you didn't think that David Cassidy was doing a very good job of representing himself and standing up against the bully, Richard Hatch, so you know what happened.
I think you're making a mistake.
I understand.
I really do.
I have to do this.
Okay.
I respect you more than both of them.
I understand.
David, you're fired.
So he's the first to go on Celebrity Apprentice, but we are off and running on a new season. What are we looking forward to this year, Donald?
I told David Cassidy, I don't think I love you. That's what I said to him, basically.
Hey, have you heard? K-Rock World Tour 2011, destination number 7, System of a Down in Berlin, Germany.
Glendale.
That sounds like a very angry concert, doesn't it? System of a Down in Berlin. Does not sound light. Keep listening to score your tickets to see System of a Down May 24th at the Forum. Get on the standby boarding list. We've got all the details at krock.com. It is 6:23. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. One week ago tonight, Tom Bergeron came on and announced the cast for Dancing with the Stars. And here's the words America heard.
Loveline Loverboy, Mike Catherwood.
Yeah.
And already I thought, Loveline Loverboy, Mike Catherwood. That's how it starts. Michael, welcome to the Kevin Bean Show. How are you?
I'm really happy to be here. I've been a big fan. I've been listening since I was a young man. So it's really an honor to be
that
on the show.
That's nice. I was out on vacation last week. This is Bean speaking, so I didn't get a chance to grill Mike about what it's like. But what's it like?
It's pretty weird. It's pretty, like, here's the thing. I can understand now how other people who have been on this show can get convinced that they mean something. Like, I could see how Jennifer Grey's of the world get confused that they're now important people. Because you get so much people that are interested in this show. There's so much attention on Dancing with the Stars.
Right.
And
mm-hmm.
you do so much press, and you do so many different, like, media sources and stuff like that. Like, it's very easy to forget that you're going to ballroom dance for fun, you know, that,
right,
that you're not, like, an important person.
Well, it's the biggest, I mean, it's next to American Idol, it's the most popular show on television. I mean, it is a big deal to be on this show, and we, man, were we surprised when we found out that you were going to be doing doing it. But why did you decide, why did you say yes to this? Just for the exposure or for the thrill, for the challenge, because you hope to bang your partner Lacey Schwimmer, all of those things? What?
Yeah, that's a big goulash of all the things that you mentioned. That honestly, mostly it was the challenge of it, and realizing that I'm not a person that has anything to lose by doing it, because I'm not like a serious dramatic actor or don't plan on being one, and so why it doesn't damage my like the people's view of me in the entertainment industry. It's not like, you know what I'm saying, I'm not Ryan Gosling. I'm a guy who has had my ass waxed on the air, you know. and I plan on being like that kind of guy for the rest of my life, and hopefully being able to have a career with that kind of level of goofiness. So it's perfect, and it's huge exposure, like you said.
Right.
And hopefully can, and I will have sex with Lacey.
Well, now the one thing, by the way, poor Lacey, I was looking at her resume, and by the way, enormously beautiful girl, enormously talented, obviously she vaulted to fame on So You Think You Can Dance. I mean, she's a great, great dancer, but she's been paired with Lance Bass and with Steve-O.
Yeah.
And with you, are they trying to get her to quit? I mean, is this just they're trying to make her life as miserable as possible?
You know, they originally put me, I found this out, they originally had me paired up with Cheryl Burke. And they found out, just because they physically thought we'd be better together. And they switched it up because they said Lacey will probably be better at dealing with me as a person because she's accustomed to being with wacky people.
By the way, Lacey went to the finals last year.
Yeah, with
I mean, she's good.
That little kid, Kyle Massey. Yeah.
Exactly, yeah. Now, I was thinking about, do you have an advantage as a guy who has a very healthy work regimen when it comes to, you know, working out and pushing yourself physically? That's got to help you a lot compared to the, you know, the fat asses who are just getting off the bench and going in there and thinking they're going to learn to dance.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Because the stamina that comes with, you know, being, like, taking care of yourself, it helps me because it's already mentally very demanding to do something you suck at. For hours and hours and hours every day, you go in there and you try and dance and you're not good at it. It's like going to the driving range when you're just starting golfing. I mean, it's
super frustrating.
It's horrible. You want to pull your hair out.
Yeah.
So at least being able to not be breathing hard and sweating while I'm doing it puts me at a major advantage, I think. You know?
Now, how about in terms of, I mean, we've seen contestants in the past. I mean, Buzz Aldrin is a good example of a guy who sucked. He was horrible, but America, for whatever reason, seemed to really like him because of the novelty of an 80-year-old guy out there. So he got a lot of votes. What's your strategy to try to get people to vote for you on the show? Because you're not as well known as some of the other contestants.
Right. I mean, I thought about that long and hard. And it's not even a matter of just being well liked. It's like having an in-pocket audience. You know what I'm saying? Like, you could, like, Bristol Palin wasn't really that well liked either. She couldn't dance and she didn't have very much charisma, but you have a built in audience that'll vote for you if you're, you know, like a support network if you're Bristol Palin.
Because she had her mom's fans who were willing to vote for her.
And, and I don't have even that. But I will say, like, I don't want to go in there being too conscious of it and then start trying to act like the guy who's trying to garner some support. I'm just going to be myself and hopefully that'll go well.
Yeah.
But I will say, also, since you touched on that, Bean, The flagship station here and the Kevin and Bean listeners and also subsequently the Loveline listeners have already been so overwhelmingly supportive. It really does mean a lot to me because, look, it is a goofy, stupid show that is against kind of the grain of the demographic of the shows that I'm on now. They could have very easily gone a different direction, but everybody's been super, super supportive, and really it means a lot to me. So I just want to say that thank you to the fans.
I wonder if people are saying that like I am and will not really then watch the show and vote for you. I wonder how much of that is
going on. Yeah. I mean, look, Omar's a perfect example. He's like, dude, I love you, man. You're my boy. I support you. I ain't for no reasons at all watching this show. Unless you make a disaster out of yourself so then I can subsequently laugh at you and make fun of you. So that's all I have to look forward to.
What kind of advice are you getting from your friends like Steve-O and David Alan Greer, Carolla, those guys who have done Jeff Ross, those guys who have done Dancing with the Stars before? Well, they told you anything that's been helpful?
As far as like Dag and Carolla and Jeff Ross, I just took away what they said after they got they had left the show, and that was that originally they went into it for the paycheck and for the boost and fame, and then came away really enjoying the experience. Steve-O actually took me aside and talked about how I should just go with it, and that, you know, but it's hard when Steve-O's telling you nice stuff. It's hard to know what's real and what's just him being Steve-O, because he's such a like grade A human being. He's going to say positive, nice stuff no matter what.
That's just how he sees the world.
Exactly. He sees it through cherry colored eyes. So you wonder how to take it, because he could just be blowing smoke up my ass. But he's like, everybody's gonna love you. So he pretty much told me, just be myself and don't try to act out for the camera and you know, have fun with it, because at the end of the day, that's exactly what it is. It's a big fun experience.
I was a little bit worried about Psycho Mike when because now he's network guy, and now people are paying attention to him, and he's not under the radar anymore. And I thought, is this going to change our boy? Because, you know, you follow Mike on the Twitter, Lisa.
Oh, yeah.
He used to tweet the foulest stuff in the world. And now most of his tweets are, hey, Billy Bush, great to meet you. Thanks for having me on Access Hollywood. I thought, what's happened to our Mike? I was really worried we were losing. But last night he started tweeting again about his poop. And then I thought, well, he's still there. We still got him. We haven't lost him yet.
I don't think that'll ever go away.
At my core, I'm still the same person. But I did get the dossier from Disney about my tweeting and stuff like that.
Really?
You'll notice I use the word poop and not the S word.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, that is kind of an upgrade for you, I guess.
So you've cleaned it up for Disney.
A little bit.
So how many hours will you dance today, Mike, after you leave here?
Anywhere between like 5 to 7.
Wow. You know? Oh, my God. I can't even imagine how much that must suck. Especially, as you said, when you don't feel like you have any affinity for it and you're not good at it.
Yeah, and you start to focus, and you start to, even if you're not a natural dancer, which I'm openly not, you start to want to get better at it, and you start to realize that, hey, I'm going to be on national television very soon.
Right.
You better focus. So you start to get excited about the idea of learning something, you know?
All right, let me ask you this.
Yes.
Because the show debuts, what, in like 2 weeks or something like that, or maybe less, right?
10 days, something like that? 11 days on the dot, March 21st.
Okay. Do they train you, or is all of this training that you're doing now just for that first show, or is this an appetizer course where they teach you a little bit about a bunch of the dances that you're going to be doing throughout the season, assuming you stay?
No, I think they just make the first dance pretty basic for everybody, and then the people that they get, that kind of get through the first week of eliminations, you build from there. I don't think they give you like a broad dance that.
So all you're doing right now is just training for that first dance?
Right, right. Right,
wow.
Because I'm not supposed to talk about what that dance is, but there's most likely, if I do make it through, my dance of the first week is going to be totally separate from the type of dance that will be throughout the year. So, I, like you said, I'm just focusing pretty much on week one.
Crazy.
Yeah.
You think you'll come back to the Kevin and Bean show once you're on Dancing with the Stars? You think this is it? Is this the last interview with Psycho Mike?
Well, no, this is the last time you'll talk to me, period. Both, like, in your personal life. And
Are you cutting us off on Twitter and we can't email
you
anymore?
I'm sorry, who are you? Who are you, woman?
You're changing your phone number, no more texts?
With friends with me anymore.
Tammy, who are you? Tammy?
Well, we are going to be watching, Mike. And I think we've told you on and off the air, you know how proud of you we are. And we can't wait to see what happens. Well, we're really, really looking forward to it.
Thank you, guys. And you've always been so supportive. Even though you like to pick on me on the air, off the air, you guys couldn't be better bosses or friends and stuff. And I really appreciate it. And it's time for me to dance.
Yeah, go dance, man. We'll see. Hey! It's the world-famous K-Rock.
No, not a hey.
Not appropriate. 106.7 KROQ. It is 6:40. Monday on the Kevin and Bean Show, Dr. Drew joins us in about 20 minutes or so.
Where's Dr. Drew when you need him?
That's a great question, Charlie Sheen. We'll be finding out coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Also next hour, Ralph, announcement today about a little show we like to call the April Foolishness Concert.
Oh, I thought it was Acoustic Christmas.
April Foolishness, right around the corner. So a lot of people have been emailing and texting and tweeting, wanting those details. They are happening for you in about a half an hour right here on the Kevin and Bean Show, one of our favorite annual traditions. Hey, I'm glad you're in here, Ralph, because... it's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices.
No, let's just announce April Foolishness.
Nope, we got to see
Dr. Drew or anything. Anything.
No, we have both of those things coming up along with Ralph Showbiz B. Beer mug in for Psycho Mike. What's on the wheel? What are the possibilities of the stories that we could be covering on the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices?
We got the Finnish Hitler mocking dog.
Stupid.
Killer bees in Florida.
Killer bees in Florida. How could you not want to hear about that, Ralph?
I've got the answer from the headline, by the way. Killer bees are in Florida. I got that. No more info needed. Got it.
All right.
We have the bird, cow, fish party in heaven.
Take that off that wheel. It's not going to happen ever.
It might land on that. You don't know, man.
Sword-winged ancient ninja birds.
Oh, that sounds so cool.
F this bit so
hard. I want to talk to them.
Wally the dog that wouldn't die.
Wally the dog that wouldn't die.
Heidi the cross-eyed possum. And Prince...
Sorry.
Holly, the cross-eyed possum who predicted the Oscars, you recall.
Yeah.
On the Jimmy Kimmel Show.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And last but not least, Prince the dog that can't take a hint.
Wow. Boy, hope we talk to one of these dogs, or maybe a possum. That would be hilarious if we could talk to a possum.
Well, let's find out. Let's spin the wheel, oh, bad animal voices. Hey, wait, I think you're supposed to hit the intro first.
Oh, hit it, Steve.
It's time for the wheel of bad animal voices. Where do you think it's gonna land?
Don't know.
It's gonna be pretty bad, but Kevin and me don't care, so we'll do it anyway. It's time for the wheel of bad animal voices.
All right, now for reals, let's spin the wheel and see where it lands.
Here we go.
Spinning it twice. This will be twice as good.
Yeah. Oh, you guys are ready for this?
Right. Yeah, tell
me. You guys are ready. Wally, the dog that wouldn't die.
Oh, the dog that wouldn't die.
I can't participate in this.
Oh, no, Ralph, hold on. This is a heartwarming story. No, this is a heartwarming. Don't leave. No, don't leave, Ralph. Oh, come on.
Radio.
Where's going, Ralph? Where's he going?
And he loves dogs.
He never gets to hear the hard-hitting interviews when he walks out like that. This is a one of the saddest stories that has one of the happiest endings, at least for one of these dogs in a litter. I guess they're about 3 months old. A family dropped off some puppies at a shelter just outside Oklahoma City, and they said these dogs are very, very sick. And the shelter looked at them and decided they had to put them down, put all the puppies down, which is just tragic. I hate it so much. I hate so much that they couldn't find homes for those puppies. So the saddest part of the story is once they put them down, then they throw them in the dumpster out behind the shelter.
And really?
That's a terrible way for a little puppy to go, right? Well, the next morning, somebody hears something moving around in the dumpster, and they go and they look, and it's one of the puppies that had been euthanized the day before that's up and walking around, a three-month-old puppy that's up, barking, hungry, trying to get out.
Oh, my God.
What's up with that? This is the puppy that wouldn't die.
That's amazing.
It's an unbelievable story. How do you survive being euthanized and come back to life the next day? Now, of course, millions of people all over the country want to adopt this little dog that has been named Wally because he was the last one standing.
Right.
And he is going to be a very popular dog and I'm sure have a very, very happy life. And we asked producer Alex to line us up somebody from the story. And I believe we have Animal Control from Oklahoma City on the phone. Is that right? Hello? Kevin and Bean Show here.
Winning. Hello. Winning.
Is this an animal control officer?
No, this is Wally.
Oh, we're talking to Wally himself,
son
of course.
Of a gun.
It is the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices.
Winning.
All right, Wally.
Hard to argue.
What's going on, dude? What happened?
I survived.
You did survive.
I survived where other puppies couldn't survive.
Yeah.
How did that happen? How do you get euthanized and come back to life? That never happens.
Because you can't comprehend how my mind works. My mind is too advanced for you. If you had it for 5 minutes, you'd say, oh, turn this thing off, and your face would melt, and your children would weep over your dead body.
Oh, I see.
Winning.
So it was just your brain. You just decided to turn off the drugs, basically, that they had put in your body.
Because I'm not normal. I'm special. I'm a freaking rock star from Mars. That's why.
You kind of are. And by the way, let me point this out. Not only surviving being euthanized, also speak perfect English. That's pretty impressive.
Winning.
So what happens now, Wally? Now that your life has been spared, are you going to make something of yourself?
I'm going to hang out with my bitches.
Uh-huh.
They're going to help me raise my puppies.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to live together in this amazing house that is in the backyard of this dude's place. And we're going to live there, and we'll be winning.
You'll be winning.
That's right.
It's kind of hard to argue.
Magic at the end of my paws.
It does sound like that.
Dog poop into gold.
Well, you sure do. So congratulations, Wally. It's an unbelievable story. I'm very happy for you. Not so happy about your little brothers and sisters, though, but still.
Well, they couldn't hang. They can't
hang
with me because I'm special.
You are special.
I got Adonis DNA.
Yeah, that's what I understand.
And I got wolf blood.
Yeah, you have wolf blood. Outstanding. Thanks, Wally.
Winning.
106.7. KROQ, 654.
Turn that speaker down.
Monday on the Kevin and Bean Show. And we've got details on April Foolishness 2011 coming up in less than a half an hour from right now. If you like the comedy, you wouldn't be listening to Kevin and Bean Show. But trust me on this, you're definitely going to want to hear about this. That's on the way from the Kevin and Bean Show. Dr. Drew after the top of the hour. Right now, Ralph is here with another look at the showbiz beat. What's going on?
It's Monday, so we look at the top 10 movies at the box office. See what people are going to see in their local cineplexes. And Rango was the big winner this weekend, the Johnny Depp movie. Johnny Depp, apparently, it's official, can do no wrong.
Yeah.
Anything he's in is going to be a smash hit, except for The Tourist. Rango, $38 million, made it number one this weekend. The Adjustment Bureau came in at number two. New Matt Damon movie, $20.9 million. Beastly was third, a little over $10 million. Then Hall Pass and Romeo and Juliet, rounding out the top five. Unknown at number six. Then The King's Speech, Just Go With It, I Am Number Four. And Justin Bieber's recently rebooted Never Say Never 2.0 came in at number 10. $4.3 million. Did you go see the director's cut, Bean, of Justin Bieber's Never Say Never?
I didn't. I think...
What?
How could you not
go see all the new footage of your boyfriend?
Because I have a feeling it's going to be out on DVD pretty soon, and it'll even be more, so I'll just see it then.
You have no Bieber fever, my friend. You are not feverish.
Did they recut it and do a version 3.0 for this past weekend? I didn't hear about it.
No, just the two versions.
Oh, really?
So
okay.
Far, yeah. You know, last week, we got a lot of acclaim and love for debuting the red-hot new Kim Kardashian single, Jam.
Right.
Yeah, we played that a bunch last week. And, well, you know, our show is where the whole office can go to where hip-hop lives and coast together. I don't know what that means. Well, we play the hottest songs. All the hottest singles drop here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Well, especially when you talk about quality like that. You can't ignore somebody as talented as Kim Kardashian.
Oh, that Jam. Oh, was that good. Well, turns out Britney Spears' new single was leaked on Thursday of last week. By Friday, it was available up on iTunes. If you haven't heard it yet, I thought I'd bring you a little taste of the new single. It's called Till the World Ends, and it was co-written by Kesha. So you know it's got to be good, right?
That's the mark of quality right there.
Here's the new song by Britney Spears. Just a little taste of Till the World Ends. No, it's not.
that's not at all what I expected from that.
That's just someone playing songs on a touchtone phone.
This is
Till the World Ends.
I can't take it no more. Never felt like this before. Come on, get me on the floor. DJ, what you waiting for? Oh.
Okay. All right. No, wait. It gets better. Listen to this part. Yeah. All right. Now, this is my favorite part. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Wait for this. Oh, this is good. How about this part?
Makes me miss the glory days of Whip My Hair.
Right? Listen to this part. Oh, can't you just see Snooki and Pauly D fist pump into that?
You know, the Kim Kardashian song and the Britney Spears song both, they're making music where you can't tell if the person can't even sing anymore. It's so electronically processed that it could be you, me, or Beer Mug, for that matter.
I'm so glad that Britney Spears, artist that she is, has finally gotten around to addressing a subject matter which I think has been sorely ignored in the world of music. DJ, get me out on the dance floor. Why don't they write songs about DJs getting people out on the dance floor?
Finally, that's a great point.
She is treading where angels fear. She is going into subject matter that needs to be dealt with in a serious way.
And let me tell you something else about that Britney Spears song, Ralph, and I know you've been watching The American Idol this season. Sounds exactly like the new Jennifer Lopez song, which is about the DJ getting me out on the floor.
Which sounds like the new Willow Smith song, which sounds like the new Kim Kardashian song.
Yes,
which is
they're all the same.
Just F you. Popular music.
How does our friend Carson Daly survive playing that music every day, all day?
Well, you know, to his credit, he did have his ears surgically removed sometime last year, so he no longer has to worry about that.
Oh, I didn't realize he was deaf by choice.
He has gone full Matlin. And so I support his decision wholeheartedly.
That's a terrible song.
Our boy King of Mexico. Oh, I like it. I think it's good. I like it a lot. I've been listening to it. It's good.
Yeah,
he's a big Britney fan. He's got to be fired.
Or put down. Let's send him to that shelter in Oklahoma City.
No, because apparently they can't get the job done.
Oh, that's right.
Let's send him to a place that we know when they throw Dave in the dumpster, he's staying in the dumpster.
Exactly.
All right. More news. Demi Lovato out of rehab. She is out of rehab for all those things she was rehabbing over.
And they didn't make an announcement as to what it was, right?
No, but thank God Demi has finally done her first exclusive video thank you to her fans since she got back home out of rehab. And she is addressing all of the problems she had in rehab. And I'm glad because, as she mentions here, a lot of people may be suffering from the same affliction.
The journey that I've been on.
Come on, Mug. Pay attention.
Here's Demi Lovato.
The journey that I've been on has been very, very difficult over the past few months. I was dealing with issues that I know not only girls just my age, but of all ages are dealing with.
Right.
People that are probably watching this video right now are dealing with the issues that I had to.
True, true.
And I hope to one day raise awareness of everything so that I can help people too, just like you guys helped me through this rough time.
Who are suffering from?
What's the problem that she's addressing?
You want to raise awareness and then not say what it is you're raising awareness
about? Are you kidding me?
You are the worst awareness raiser ever. Lady, she did not talk about what she went into rehab for while talking about how she cannot wait to raise awareness for the things that she was suffering from that she's sure you, who are now watching, is suffering from, but she won't acknowledge it, so you don't know whether you're suffering from it or not.
That's unbelievable.
I thought it was hilarious. It's like it's like a sketch.
It is. A lot of people tuning in right now because they have what I have.
Right. If you have what I have, let's raise awareness about that thing that we won't talk about. What do you say? So please, give generously to the We Won't Say What It Is We're Suffering From Foundation.
I feel like there's a ribbon I should be wearing and a 5K walk I should be going on and everything to support this terrible disease.
But we don't know what it is, sadly. Today's celebrity birthdays. Laura Prepon is 31 years old today. Actress Jenna Fisher is 37. Rachel Weisz.
Yes.
Rachel Weisz. Rachel Weisz. She is 40 years old today. Wanda Sykes turns 47. Bryan Cranston from Breaking Bad turns 55 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
Oh, that song makes my head hurt. I'm Lisa May, and that's too loud. I don't like it. Oh, I don't like that noise.
It's the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. It is 7:08. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show for Monday. Actress Judy Greer joins us next hour here on the program. Also, details on this year's April Foolishness coming up. First, though, as Charlie Sheen is fond of asking...
Where's Dr. Drew when you need him?
I'll tell you where Dr. Drew is. Dr. Drew is on VH1 tonight at 8 o'clock with a special called VH1 News presents Charlie Sheen winning or losing it. Hey, Dr. Drew.
Here we are, guys.
Great to talk to you, man. How's Las Vegas?
I'm not there yet. Thank you.
All right.
I'm still in L.A.
I don't know how much, with your very busy schedule, you've had a chance to see some of the interviews that Charlie Sheen has been doing, but he has made it very clear that he is not a fan of being diagnosed by people who have not spent any time with him. I'm sure you've encountered that in the past before, Dr. Drew. How do you address it?
I love that. To me, that's the most bizarre thing in the world, because I am not addressing his psychological status. I'm addressing his medical status. Bean, if I hear somebody coughing and sneezing behind me in the grocery line and complaining about a sore throat, I don't even need to turn around before I tell the cashier they better wash their hands when they handle the next case because there's a cold behind me.
Sure.
And when you see somebody in acute manic state, it's obvious. It's a medical condition. It has a series of criteria. You look at the behavior, look at what they're saying, and that meets the criteria for hypomania. That's it, period. It's like looking at a rash or something. You don't have to see the person. You can look at the picture and tell what it is.
And I would also argue, Dr. Drew, that – can you ride the pot a little bit here, beer mug, please? I would also like to argue, Dr. Drew, that – I'm sorry, Dr. Drew. Mug is new at this. Turn Dr. Drew down when I'm talking a little bit, Muggs. Thank you.
Is this thing on? Are we on the radio?
Yeah, we're having a little bit of feedback issue. I just need Muggs to know how to run it. That's all. I would also argue that in all the years you've been doing celebrity rehab that we've seen on television and all the thousands of patients that you've seen that we haven't seen on television, there are some patterns that emerge that you've heard this kind of talk before. This isn't the first time you've seen a guy who talks like Charlie Sheen, right?
It's very, very typical. I mean, again, the criteria in hypomania are, you know, inflated self-esteem, grandiose flights of ideas, big plans, believe that you have special powers, it's infectious, they have pressured speech, they jump from topic to hot topic, they have impaired judgment, and they typically don't believe they have a problem. That's just the criteria for hypomania, that's it. So, does that sound familiar?
It sounds extremely familiar, yeah. But what about the part, and is it troubling to you that he says, hey, just turn off your, just turn off that part of your brain that wants to use. You can cure your addiction just by thinking about it hard enough.
Yeah,
I mean, by all accounts, he's passing all of his drug tests. He seems to have been able to put down the pipe or whatever we had. Is it just a matter of time before he relapses on the drug front, too?
Yeah, the scary thing, I mean, that's the more serious problem, which is that's the scarier problem, which is the addiction. So he has two problems. He has an acute psychiatric problem, hypomania, probably drug-induced, and he has the addiction, which is, obviously the longer-term issue, but also something that's going to take a lot longer to treat. It's funny, I had a patient just yesterday say to me, he has seen this a million times in his cocaine abusing peers, and he's always jealous of them because they were high all the time and didn't need to keep using the coke.
Yeah.
Is that funny? So, yeah. So you induce the mania from the cocaine, then you feel high. You feel like you're high all the time because you're in a manic state. Then right. They either flip into a genuine mania and lose touch with reality, in which case they're very, very dangerous, or they come crashing down the other side and get depressed, and then, of course, they start using again.
Charlie Sheen thinks people are crazy that he has to come down. He thinks that this is his new regular way of living, is being in this intense state, and that it can go on forever. But physically, that's impossible. You would exhaust yourself to the grave, right, Drew?
Yeah, I mean, it just doesn't tend to stay the same. It just doesn't. It gets worse or it gets better. And he's been actually a little bit unusual in that it has been relatively static. He has been sort of able to modulate and calm down a little bit. And we'll see. You know, it's going to play out the way it plays out. I wish the guy the best. I mean, people really like him. There's nothing, he's not a bad guy as far as I can tell, but he's a guy with a really serious medical problem. And, the people I'm upset with, not him, but the people around him, those goofballs you see on his webcast that are sort of gratifying all this.
And laughing at everything he says.
Yeah, which is, again, hypomanics are very infectious and very funny, and it's understandable. But for goodness sakes, this guy's ruining his life. He's lost his children. He's lost his career. And this is the beginning of trouble. There's more to come. And they're sitting around applauding. It's not going to go well.
This is the voice of our friend Dr. Drew Pinsky on the phone right now. VH1 News presents Charlie Sheen, Winning or Losing It. It's a new special that airs tonight at 8 o'clock. Drew, I follow you on the Twitter, of course, and you said something really interesting over the weekend, which is you're really concerned about patients for their own safety when they're in this condition, more so even than when they're depressed, in terms of perhaps hurting themselves or getting into sticky situations. What do you mean by that?
Well, if you look at bipolar patients, which again, we're kind of the one thing I can't accurately do is really call him bipolar. I can just say he's hypomanic, and
he's by winning.
Yeah, he's winning, and he's, he's in this manic state. But bipolar patients tend to be more likely to hurt themselves when they're manic than even when they're depressed. So this is when wild stuff tends to happen. They hurt themselves, they hurt other people, and everyone sort of looks at this and goes, well, okay, so he's manic, what's the big deal? If he crashes, then we'll worry about him. No, the time to worry is now. And again, I'm stunned that people can't understand that a doctor can look at somebody's behavior and easily, just like looking at a rash, go, oh, yeah, that's what this is. There's just no doubt right. about it. I don't know what all the circumstances and psychological conditions are that have come to bear to create the state he's in, but I can tell you the state he's in just the way I can tell you if somebody's got a cold.
You have written a lot and spoken a lot. I think you even wrote a book about celebrity addiction and how it relates to narcissism. Is the fact that he's a celebrity making this so much worse for him and much more less likely that he'll get the help he needs?
That's a great question. I like the way you asked that question, because that's the part that's bothering me, which is because he's a celebrity, he has all these hangers-on. They're all around him gratifying. He has enough power and money to get by and continue to justify his behavior. So the behaviors and the conditions tend to progress to a much greater extent than the rest of us who would have family, friends, employers to pull us in, make us get treatment before we did something awful.
So when you see somebody like Mark Cuban, who apparently is serious about hiring Charlie Sheen to do a show on his HDNet network, do you go, hey, that dude's enabling him, he should stay as far away from him as possible?
That's right. I blame those people. I understand why he would say that. I mean, it'd probably be good business. But the fact is, as a human being here who's in a dangerous medical condition, and you're not just enabling it, you're allowing it to play out in an uncontrolled fashion. And that's what, for guys like us, that's what we try to help people prevent from getting into trouble with. And with people all around them gratifying and glorifying and amplifying it, again, we're all going to stand by and watch. And, I say this, it's funny, people's memory are short. I remember saying this about, Lindsay and Paris and those guys, 5-8 years ago when people were obsessing about them, saying, look, this is going to play out. They're either going to be in jail, dead, or institutionalization. Well, that's where that went. Lindsay was in jail. Yeah. Paris, Brittany was institutionalized. Paris was in jail. And this is where these things go. And it's just how they play out. If they didn't play out that way, I could sit with you and laugh and just go, okay, he's in a funny state. He's not got good judgment. Oh, well, what are you going to do? But no, these things go to terrible, terrible places, and lots of lives are affected.
You sound so smart and so much like you know what you're talking about, yet Charlie Sheen still refers to you as Dr. Clown Shoes. How does that make you feel?
That's awesome. I wanted to know that I want to be him.
Exactly, yes. VH1 News presents...
My psycho Mike might have reminded me last night. I'm the king of people who want to be him.
That's what he said on the webcast on Saturday night, exactly. Of all the people in the world that want to be Charlie Sheen, Dr. Drew is at the top of that list.
He must be so uncomfortable being Charlie Sheen. I actually feel sorry for him.
8 o'clock tonight on VH1. Sounds like a worthwhile special. A lot we can learn from that, Dr. Drew. And, of course, the co-host of Loveline, 5 nights a week. Check your local listings. And what do you think, real quick, before you go, about your boy Mike being on Dancing with the Stars?
I think it's awesome. I can't wait to see this go. I don't know about you guys, but I'm going to sit in the audience and watch.
Oh, yeah, we've asked. I want to go. Yeah.
It should be great. Drew, thanks for squeezing us in today, man. We know you're real busy. We appreciate it, dude.
Thanks. Bye.
Beautiful actress Judy Greer joins us next hour on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Ding.
I know,
ding, ding,
right?
Ding, ding, ding.
I love her so much.
It's the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KRQ at 726. Ralph, I'm glad you're here. How did April Foolishness get started, and why haven't we been doing it all along? What a fantastic idea.
I believe it was our old pal, Amy Stevens, who used to run promotions here at the station, our flagship station, said to us one year, you know, we do all these musical events with these bands and stuff and everything, and you guys know so many cool comedians who come on the show to promote their gigs or just stop by and be funny. Why don't we do a comedy show? Why don't we put together a comedy show like we do our big summer and winter concerts with all the bands in lineup and get a big lineup of very funny people and have an evening of comedy hosted by Kevin and Bean? And we said, duh, winning.
Exactly. It is the best idea, and it is the best collection of talent for comedy on any stage anywhere in America all year long. Yeah. I mean, I can't believe how great our shows are. This is going to be the third year in a row that we present for you Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness. We are just now, for the first time, unveiling details about this year's show, which is going to be coming up on Saturday, April 2nd at the Gibson Amphitheater in Universal City, California. You got to go to this show, and here's why. Listen up. Hit it, Steve.
Want to hear a good joke?
I want to bring out the next comic here.
Welcome, everyone, to April Foolishness, courtesy of K-Rock.
Kevin and Bean's third annual April Foolishness, Saturday, April 2nd, Gibson Amphitheater.
Performing live on stage,
Jimmy Kimmel, Axis of Awesome, Doug Benson, Steve-O, Jim Jefferies, Bill Burr.
Hey, when people say they rescued a dog, really? Did you pull her out of a burning building? Or did you just go down to the pound and get a free dog, you cheap Isn't that what you did?
Ray Romano.
You know, it doesn't matter if you laugh or not. I'm just happy to be out of the house right now.
Patton Oswalt.
My whole set's just been like, my penis, wah.
Jay Moore.
You don't listen to K-Rock. You and you are cuckoo.
And house band.
Cleto and the Cletones.
April Foolishness.
Who would have thought, you know, it would take these radio guys to put all these comedians together.
Hey, party people, Kevin and Bean here. If you'd like to get in on the exclusive K-Rock Street Team on sale Thursday at 10 a.m., do that. God damn it.
K-Rock. From Warner Brothers Pictures, Arthur. Meet the world's most lovable billionaire, Arthur, in theaters April 8th.
I miss that guy, Kevin. Yeah. Oh, how funny he was. Oh, he was funny.
He's gifted.
All right. The exclusive Street Team on sale means before they go on sale to the public, and it is free to join. Get details at kevinandbean.com. It's going to be Thursday at 10 o'clock to buy your tickets. Jimmy Kimmel returning this year. Patton Oswalt is going to be on the show. Jay Moore, who was just unbelievable last time he played. Our friend Ray Romano is going to be performing. Jim Jefferies, who has just become a great friend of the Kevin and Bean Show and is so hilarious every time he comes in, as is Bill Burr. We're very excited to have him. Celtics fan and all, he's invited. Steve-O is going to be making his comedy debut on the Kevin and Bean April Foolishness stage. We've not had him at one of our events before, but he has turned into quite the little entertainer, I understand.
There's fire involved with Steve-O. We got that going for us.
That's right. Doug Benson is on the bill this year. Ralph, you were lobbying for the Axis of Awesome. I have not seen them. Tell me why they're cool.
If you are a fan of Flight of the Conchords, the New Zealand comedy musical act, you would love Axis and will love Axis of Awesome. They are an Australian group. Three guys who come out on stage and just have some very funny, funny songs. It is music and comedy. These guys are outstanding, and it's a great addition to the lineup this year.
Plus, being the house band again for us this year at Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness for the third year in a row is the Jimmy Kimmel Band, Cleto and the Cletones, who's the best group in late night television. Yeah, no kidding, right?
He's cute.
April 2nd, Gibson Amphitheater, Universal City. Producer Alex is in studio with us here,
hello,
too, because we have some details about tickets and packages and everything else. Again, the Street Team
packages.
Sale goes up.
Packages.
Goes up.
Packages.
Thursday, at 10 o'clock, but what kind of choices are Kevin and Bean listeners going to be making?
We have a lot of options for you because we are a charity event. And so all the benefits this year are going to the Wounded Warrior Project. So we have a special section in the pit called the Fancy Schmancy section. Took us a long time to come up with that. You get a fancy schmancy t-shirt. You get a party, apparently, with the Kevin and Bean show. We got to be there early. We got to be drinking.
Party in our pants.
Oh, so you get to hang out with us for an hour. You get backstage parking like a VIP. Basically, you can park next to Jimmy Kimmel and then try to steal his car.
Pretty cool.
That can happen. And then orc seats are 65, loge are 45, and mezzanine are 25.
And by orc, you mean orchestra.
Okay. Sorry.
I'm not hip on all your insider lingo,
sorry.
Alex. Sorry.
How much of a hurry are you in, Alex?
Those of us that work here at the station, we know orc. Loge, mezz.
I'm working orc. Calling Orson.
The proceeds go to the Wounded Warrior Project this year, and we have raised a lot of money for some great local charities over the first 2 years, and we will again this year. So that's where your ticket proceeds are going. And by the way, and I know we'll say this repeatedly over the next 3 weeks or so, the comedians are all donating their time, along with Cleto, all donating their time because it is for charity. And, I mean, we couldn't afford to put on a show like this if we had to pay these guys what they're worth.
No, we could afford the Armenian comedian. That's it.
And that's about it, yeah. So we've been getting a lot of emails and tweets and phone calls over the past few weeks wondering where the hell Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness is. This is where it is. Saturday night, April 2nd at the Gibson Amphitheater. Again, Patton Oswalt, Jay Mohr, Ray Romano, Jim Jeffries, Bill Burr, Steve-O, Doug Benson, the Axis of Awesome, Jimmy Kimmel, and the Jimmy Kimmel House Band, Cleto and the Cletones. We're going to be tickets are going on sale for Street Team members this Thursday at 10 o'clock. We're going to be giving away some tickets next on the Kevin and Bean Show to kind of get us started. If you want to call for that at 1-800-520-1067, we'll be taking your calls to play. Well, it's not an easy game that we're going to be playing. It's not an easy game. All right, so that's all the details. If you missed anything, one more time, here are the details for Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness. Hit it, Steve.
Want to hear a good joke?
I want to bring out the next comic here.
Welcome, everyone, to April Foolishness, courtesy of K-Rock.
Kevin and Bean's third annual April Foolishness, Saturday, April 2nd, Gibson Amphitheater.
Performing live on stage,
Jimmy Kimmel,
Axis of Awesome,
Doug Benson.
Hi!
Steve-O. Jim Jeffries.
Bill Burr.
Hey, when people say they rescued a dog, really? Did you pull her out of a burning building? Or did you just go down to the pound and get a free dog, you cheap Isn't that what you did?
Ray Romano.
You know, it doesn't matter if you laugh or not. I'm just happy to be out of the house right now.
Patton Oswalt.
My whole set's just been like, my penis, wah.
Jay Mohr.
You don't listen to K-Rock. You and you are cuckoo.
And House Band.
Cleto and the Cletones.
April Foolishness.
Who would have thought, you know, it would take these radio guys to put all these comedians together.
Hey, party people, Kevin and Bean here. If you'd like to get in on the exclusive K-Rock Street Team on sale Thursday at 10 a.m., do that. God damn it.
K-Rock. From Warner Brothers Pictures, Arthur. Meet the world's most lovable billionaire. Arthur, in theaters April 8th.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, the world famous K-Rock. In fact, so we say, 739. This is the Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday. Judy Greer joins us next hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. Just announced Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness happening, coming back for the third time, this time Saturday, April 2nd at the Gibson Amphitheater. Tremendous lineup on stage. Our friend Jimmy Kimmel, Patton Oswalt will be there, Jay Mohr, Ray Romano, the hilarious Jim Jeffries, Bill Burr, our friend Steve-O, Doug Benson, the Axis of Awesome, and of course Jimmy Kimmel's house band, Cleto and the Cletones. They're all going to be there. Street Team members can buy tickets when they go on sale at 10 o'clock on Thursday, or we can give some away right now at 1-800-520-1067 with a little game we like to call the hardest game in the world.
Presenting the hardest game in the world.
Mr. Announcer Man, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
Good morning, Kevin and Bean.
Now, will you and Mrs. Announcer Man be getting out of the house and coming down and joining us on April 2nd?
We're performing. We're doing our hilarious husband and wife comedy double act.
I did not know that. You're not on the lineup. I had no idea.
What?
We'd like to give away some tickets here just to kind of raise awareness of the fact that the show is happening April 2nd. They're not even on sale yet, but we're going to start giving them away. But from what I remember, Mr. Announcer Man, this game is not easy to win.
Well, it's, let's see, the hardest game in the world.
How's it played?
We will be naming for you names of comedians who are performing at the 2011 April Foolishness Comedy Extravaganza. All you need to do is identify those comedians. Oh, wait a minute. We'll be saying their names backwards.
Well, that sounds like it would be hard.
It's the hardest game in the world.
All right. The good news is you don't have to pull some obscure bit of trivia out of your butt. The answers are right in front of you. It's going to be one of the people that's going to be on stage on the night of April Foolishness. And if you get it right, if you tell us who you're listening to backwards, you win tickets and you will join us. And we'll take them in order, starting with line one. Who's first, Mr. Announcer Man?
First up is Dennis. He's a student at UCLA. Go Banana Slugs.
I believe it's the Bruins. Oh. Hey, Dennis, welcome to the show. How are you, man?
Hey, good. And yourself?
Well, we're doing fine. We just announced April Foolishness. You are about to be the first and, for a short time, only person who has tickets to our event. All you have to do is tell us who this person is. We'll play it for you just twice, and then you tell us what the name is. Here we go.
See your fashion.
Jim Jeffries?
Beer mug?
Hello?
Yes, you're right! Congratulations!
Congratulations, you have won tickets. You're first. We got a new guy in studio here, Mr. Announcer Man, so we're working out the bugs.
Usually we play the name backwards twice.
We do, yeah. Our contestant was too good this time.
He nailed it.
Who's our next player?
Next up is Ernie. He lives with a guy named Bert on Sesame Street.
Hey, Ernie, ready to play the hardest game in the world?
Sure am. Good morning.
Listen up.
Jim Jeffries.
Nope, that was the first one.
That was right. All right, let's.
That was your warm-up.
Here we go. Sorry, guys. Here we go.
When I'm a here.
One more time.
One more time.
When I'm a here.
Ray Romano.
Yeah, there you
nice.
Go.
Ray Romano.
Well this done, Ernie.
This game isn't hard at all, Mr. Announcer Man. What are you talking about?
We're big fat liars.
All right, who's next?
Next up is Jonathan. He's an EMT.
EMT. Oh. I believe it actually works at EMT.
Sorry.
Hi, Jonathan. How's this lineup sound to you, my friend?
It sounds amazing, guys. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. It's a great, great night of comedy. And, of course, when tickets go on sale this Thursday at 10, you buy those tickets. Proceeds go to the Wounded Warrior Project. We're going to give you some if you can tell us who this entertainer is. Listen up. We'll play it for you twice.
Slows up.
Oh, I know that one.
All right, what is it?
Patton Oswalt?
Yeah.
Yes, we're 3 for 3.
Patton Oswalt.
There you go. Well done. Congratulations.
We're almost sold out of tickets. We're giving too many away.
All right. Who's next?
Next up is Lionel. He's an engineer. Woo-hoo.
Well, of course he is. Course. Lionel, you ready to play?
Yeah.
Good luck to you.
You don't sound too sure, Lionel.
A lot of pressure. Everybody, come on.
That's true.
Lomi. He imaged.
One more time.
Lomi. He imaged.
What do you think?
Jimmy Kimmel?
Yeah!
Jimmy Kimmel.
We got to rename this game.
This is the easiest game in the world!
Well, we only have one pair of tickets slotted left to give away, so this is probably going to be our last contestant. Who's that, Mr. Announcer Man?
Next up is Greg. He works in construction.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Greg.
Hi, Greg.
All right, Greg, don't let us down, man. Everyone else has gotten tickets. You can, too. Listen up. We'll play it for you twice.
Miss Ned. Hey, God. Miss Ned. Hey, God.
What do you think?
Jay Moore.
Oh!
Doug Benson.
Doug Benson is who we're looking for. All right, we do have time to get one more contestant on the line.
Ryan's up next. He's a lineman for the DWP.
All right, Ryan, because Greg was lame, you get a chance to win your tickets. Listen up. We'll play it for you twice.
Herb Hood.
One more time.
Herb Hood.
Oh, Jay Moore?
Go!
Bill Burr.
All right, one more, Mr. Announcer Man, one more.
Next up is Larry. He works at MTV.
Wow, Larry, check you out. How about that Skins, huh?
Awesome, I love it. How you guys doing? Thank you for having me on.
All right, Larry, good luck. You're going to be our last contestant, win or lose. Listen closely, we'll play it for you twice.
Yes.
One more time.
Yes.
We say Steve-O on that.
Oh.
Jay Moore.
Oh, thank God.
Everyone was guessing Jay Moore when it wasn't Jay Moore. And then when it was, no, Steve-O.
I'm glad Larry didn't win. He might have brought Snooki.
That's an excellent point. Thank you very much. Mr. Announcer Man, we'll see you on April 2nd. Thanks for playing the game.
You're welcome.
I'm sorry, I missed that last comment, Ralph. What were you saying right as the song was ending?
I said Mug is doing a great job as our new board operator.
For
a guy with a guy used to have a beard.
I see. Okay. I'm
recently shaven.
It's the world famous K Rock 106.7 KROQ 754. This is the Kevin Bean Show. Harvey Levin from TMZ.com joins us next hour to bring us up to date with all things Sheen and whatnot. Hey, Ralph, we should mention again, you were in New York City over the weekend.
Yes.
You and your co-stars from Kevin Smith's new film, Red State, took it to the people. It was the first of what will be a series of shows with question and answers with cast members after a screening of the movie that people are buying all over the country. But you were on the stage and answering questions at freaking Radio City Music Hall Saturday night.
It was the first time the movie had been shown for an audience outside of the Sundance Film Festival, where it premiered. And Sundance is a funky crowd because you get a lot of critics and movie execs and actors and whatnot. Not a great barometer.
It's mostly an all-industry crowd.
Yeah. So Radio City, we played Saturday night, and we played him the movie, and people loved it. Almost 4,000 people in the theater. It was pretty cool to hear that many people reacting to the film. And then we had the Q&A afterwards with John Goodman and Melissa Leo, you know, brand new Oscar winner, and Carrie Bechet, and you know, the whole cast was there, including myself, Stephen Root. And it was awesome. People really seemed to enjoy it, and I felt bad because Melissa Leo, no one asked her a question, and someone asked me a question. I was like, really? Oh. You got an Oscar winner up on stage,
really?
And you're asking me a question? But, of course, I've got a lot of fans in the Smith universe because of Hollywood Babble on the podcast we do together. So
right.
That was cool. There was a lot of Garmy in the audience, as we said. The Garmy was
strong. I wonder if – and I haven't seen the film yet, of course, and have never been invited to anything. But I wonder if people are going to react differently meeting you after seeing you in the movie since you're such a crazy badass in the film.
I do
play – like, are they going to be scared of you a little bit?
I do play a creepy, menacing person in the film, and I am getting a lot of feedback on Twitter, people saying I think of you differently now, having seen the film. Yeah. Say something funny quick so I don't have nightmares about you, pretty much is what people have been saying. So.
See, we've all seen that dark side of Ralph Garvin for years, so it's no surprise to those of us that know you. But if you don't, I can understand.
You kill a few interns, and everyone thinks you're a bad guy.
Well, congratulations on the screening. Sounds
Thank
like
you
a lot
so
of
much.
Fun. And welcome back. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat on a Monday. Kevin and Bean Show, what's going on?
Yeah, I just want to give a quick heads up. It was in Boston last night, and it's going to be traveling all over the country and then returning home to Los Angeles here on April 9th. We're going to be at the Wiltern. So you can go to coopersdell.com for more information and details and buying tickets for the show here in Southern California. We'd love to have you come out. And also, because Smith's on the road, I'm going to be doing Hollywood Babylon this weekend up at the John Lovitz Comedy Club at Universal on Saturday night at 10 o'clock. You can go to BabylonRalph.com, but I'll be doing it alongside John Lovitz, comedy legend John Lovitz.
How
will be my
that?
Co-star. So it should be very interesting, yeah. I want to give away some passes to the red carpet world premiere of The Lincoln Lawyer, starring dreamy Matthew McConaughey. This is his first time playing a lawyer since View to a Kill, or whatever the hell that movie was he was in.
Oh,
Time for Fools. Fools, no time for sergeants.
whatever.
We know the one you're talking
yeah.
about.
He played a lawyer in some movie.
Yes. Right.
Matthew McConaughey, Marissa Tomei, Josh Lucas, William H. Macy, Ryan Phillippe, quite the cast. The Lincoln Lawyer is the name of the film. If you'd like to go to the Hollywood premiere, the red carpet Hollywood premiere at the Arclight in Hollywood, California, call now, 1-800-520-1067. That's the number to call. And you first two callers will get a pair of passes to attend The Lincoln Lawyer.
How is he going to take his shirt off if he's playing an attorney, though?
Oh, I'm sure he'll find a way. Today's almost what a celebrity birthday. Today's list of hot movies over the weekend. Number one at the box office this weekend, Rango. Came in at $38 million.
Now, how come he gets a movie, yet there's still no McCartney movie? What the hell's up with that?
Man, put that in the file beer
what?
Mug.
What? Does Rango sounds like...
Done.
Yeah.
Rango, the animated comedy, with $38 million. You know, I thought this was interesting. We talked about this last week, Bean. I'm not sure if you're aware, but you probably are, because you are Mr. Know-It-All. When they made this animated film, they acted the film out in live action. Filmed the entire movie as if it was a live-action comedy, and then took the soundtrack from that and animated that. And that's why they say the performances are so rich and interesting in this film, because they were actually acting the parts out while they recorded it.
That's an unusual way to do it.
As opposed just to reading into a microphone, which I thought was interesting news. The Adjustment Bureau was the second biggest box office grossing film this weekend, $20.9 million. Beastly was number three. Hall Pass was fourth. Then Romeo and Juliet came in at number five. Unknown was sixth. The King's Speech came in at number seven. Just Go With It, I Am number four. And Justin Bieber's Never Say Never rounded out the top 10 at the box office this weekend. Charlie Sheen, I don't know if you're familiar or not, but he's been speaking to the media quite a bit.
What?
He has not apparently had enough opportunity to voice his opinions and his concerns about the trolls and the warlocks and the other creatures that live in Charlie's brain.
You must let me impose my will all over your face.
Oh, yeah. Come on.
He's got a new show that on Ustream called Sheen's Corner with a K. If it's misspelled, it's got to be funny.
That's what I hear.
Saturday he started. He was just chatting into the camera along with his goddesses and stuff. And I thought that was it. Apparently he had another episode that aired on Sunday. I don't know if you caught that one or not. Yeah. It was Charlie on the phone. He was Ustreaming his end of a phone conversation. The guy knows how to entertain, if nothing else. He knows what the public wants. Instead of 2.5 men, it was one guy on a phone, basically, was the show on Sunday night. I brought you just a little clip. It goes on for about an hour. But here is Charlie talking to one of his advisors on the phone about what else, how bitching he is.
And guess what I'm doing right now? I'm videoing this phone call because I'm tired of losing all my gold into the ether sphere of stupidity. Yeah, I know, and my thing is gold and platinum and diamonds and every other precious gem that falls out of losers' buttholes. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's his stuff. He doesn't want us to lose any of his gems.
And all he does every time he goes on live, Ralph, is prove how much he needs Chuck Lorre to write funny dialogue for him.
Yes, that's absolutely true. You don't want to hear him improvising because he does not have the skills. I think there's a little blowback now. There's a little backlash against Charlie Sheen. People are getting a little tired of his act.
I agree.
So we'll see how much longer he stays in the public eye. But
stop with your silliness.
I'm sorry. Take a look today, celebrity birthdays. John Hurd, what an amazing, talented actor he is. 65 years old today. Bryan Cranston, speaking of talented guys, from Malcolm in the Middle, and of course Breaking Bad, where he's won every single acting award you can win. 55 years old today. Wanda Sykes, the comedian, is 47 years old. Rachel Weisz celebrates her 40th birthday today. Jenna Fisher from The Office is 37. And Laura Prepon from That 70s Show, soon to be seen in the new Chelsea Handler sitcom, Are You There, Talent? It's Me, Chelsea. Laura Prepon is 31 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Harvey Levin from TMZ.com later this hour. Right now, though, I think there's a mutual crush fest going on here, ladies and gentlemen, because the beautiful actress Judy Greer has joined us in studio to talk about so many things. And Judy, the first thing you said when you came in is that you've been trying to get on this show for 12 years?
Yeah, maybe even 13, definitely. Yeah, it's been a goal of mine. I'm so excited to be here. You guys have no idea.
Okay, but all you had to do was make one phone call and you could be doing traffic on this show. All you had to do was ask.
I didn't know that. I didn't know. I thought it was like, well, I was told a long time ago before anyone knew who I was that it was really hard to get on this show. And I think I just had that.
No,
I listen. But I don't know. I guess, it was hard for me.
And you know, it's funny because like a Misplaced when that was on, Misguided. We loved that show and talked about it.
I know. My friends always, if I can't hear your show because I'm working, my friends always call and they're like, they talked about you on Kevin and Bean, because everyone knows how much I love the show.
Well, that is very sweet, and thank you so much for that. And I'm glad Lisa brought up Misguided, which is probably not the title that most people know you from, Judy.
No.
But we loved that show so much, and that was one of those shows that when it got canceled, it really broke my heart to the point where I thought, I don't want to get invested in TV shows anymore because I'm too sad when they go away.
I know. Thank you. That's
but why does a show like that clearly had so much quality... Why does a show like that not make it? I don't understand show business sometimes when stuff like that happens.
I know. There's reasons I shouldn't say on the radio why things like that don't
When you had
it.
To go back to rehab, you mean?
She killed that drifter.
She killed the drifter, right?
Yeah, that was a while ago.
Would it have been the name which Lisa, even who liked the show, misspoke?
Wow, that's not unusual for me.
Could the title perhaps not have been as grabby as we could have hoped for?
I don't know.
On the heels of that mismatch show that Alicia Silverstone was in that was horrible?
I didn't see that. That could have been it because people always said they loved Mismatch. And I'm like, that's awesome. I'm not in it. Never was. But I'll tell Alicia if I ever see her.
Yeah.
But maybe,
Judy,
I don't know.
When people come up to you, I'm sure you get people recognize you all the time. What do they most know you from?
It always depends, I think, on whatever movie is on television that weekend. I can usually tell, like, if they're doing a lot of if they're running, like, The Wedding Planner or... But I get tons of Arrested Development, which is awesome because they're, like, since before Archer, they were my favorite fans. Now I love when people know me from Archer because it's not even my face.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to talk about Archer. For people who aren't watching it, it is one of the funniest shows on television, not just when it comes to animated shows, but one of the funniest comedies on television. television. It's on FX. It's in its second season now. The first season's available on box set, which I own. Hilariously funny and a great, great cast. I think perhaps the best cast in animation right now. You got Aisha Tyler on there.
Yeah.
Hey,
let me stop you. Let me stop you right there, because she's one of the hottest cartoon characters in the history of cartoons, in the history of animation. It's unbelievable how banging her body is on that show.
Yeah.
Yet you, who I think are equally hot in person,
they
make you a little drabber on the TV show. What's up with that?
I'm fine with that, you know? I'd rather, like, remain a mystery. I think it'll be good to be better looking in person. Not that Aisha's not better looking than her cartoon, her, but she is really super hot.
Yeah.
I don't know.
How did, did you get involved in Archer because your friend Jessica Walter was already in it and she dragged you along, or had you always wanted to do animation, or what?
I wish, because I'd do anything Jessica asked me to do. Really, I would. But I was shooting something else in Arizona at the time, and it was like, can you go and record this line at 5 o'clock at this recording studio in Scottsdale? And I was like, yeah, sure. It was a pilot presentation. And then all of a sudden it was like, yeah, you have that show now. You have to do it once a week.
Oh my God. Like,
okay. And it was FX and it was a cartoon and they paid like a dollar. So you're like, whatever. I had no idea that it was going to be. I mean, I knew I loved it. But because the script was so good, I was like, this is never going to last. Like, nothing this good is going to last.
Right.
But it's FX and they do the best shows. So.
And it's very rude, too. That's one thing we've learned from the Seth MacFarlane fine family of animated shows, is you can get away with saying the crudest, rudest things on television if you're animated.
It's so naughty. I know. I'm always like, really? Are you sure I can say this? And they're like, yeah, say it.
For those who aren't familiar with it, it's sort of a James Bond secret agent spoof about an agent named Sterling Archer, who is vain and arrogant and sexist, and he's just a pig, but he also happens to be very good at his job. That's how he sort of survives. And Chris Parnell is also in it. Judy, as we mentioned, just a great cast, and you really should check it out if you're not watching. Okay.
Good.
We will, Ralph. They said in unison. And also, you got Mad Love coming on.
Yeah.
On CBS.
Yes, that is on tonight at 8:30 on CBS. That's a new show with Sarah Chalk and Jason Biggs and... Ooh, I'll tell her you did that, in case she's not listening. And Tyler Labine, and then Sarah Wright is on, and we have Chris Parnell came on that for 2 episodes.
Oh, that's great.
Which
wow.
was super fun, and I'm only trying to do jobs with Chris Parnell now. That's my main goal, because he was also on Misguided.
Oh, that's
and
right,
he's the funniest human I've worked with ever, I think.
But that's a great cast. Now, let's face it. It is tough to launch a new television show.
Oh,
it is very difficult to break out from the pack, especially, you know, when a bunch of new shows are debuting all the time right now. How can you make Mad Love stick out and get people's attention?
I don't know. I mean, that's a good question. Thank God I don't have to do any, like, marketing or anything. I just have to talk about how awesome it is and how much fun it is. But, like, I just really hope it does, because it's super funny and we have so much fun. And I think it's, like, a chemistry thing. I feel like we have such good chemistry as a cast that hopefully that'll be the thing that stands out. And I don't know. I always say, like, we're not making, like, a brand new concept of television show, but I don't think the old one's that bad, so it's okay. Like, we're just doing the old thing, but really awesomely.
Well, the good news.
We love Big Z, too.
Yeah, Big Z's great.
He's so awesome.
Tyler Labine, we loved on Reaper. He was on that show.
Yeah, sadly, Sons of Tucson.
That was canceled.
Yes.
But the good news is I've heard that CBS will have some room on their schedule for a new comedy soon.
Why would that be?
I'm just saying, I heard.
They got some room on Monday nights?
Really?
There's some room on Monday nights for a new comedy, so you guys might benefit.
I really hope so.
What's the basic premise? Is Biggs and you and Tyler and Sarah, I guess, are like a foursome, and there's some people are falling in love, some people can't stand each other,
there's sexual tension. There's lots of sexual tension between Sarah and I. Just kidding.
Yeah!
That's the way to sell the show, Judy.
Okay, I'm doing my best. It's like what I think it's about is two couples falling in love in New York City, but in very different ways. Like, one couple has love at first sight. That's Sarah and Biggs. They just meet each other and immediately fall in love, and Tyler and I can't stand to be in the same room together, yet always find ourselves in the same room together.
Naked.
Wait a minute. I wasn't in those scenes.
The show is called Mad Love. Yes. It debuts tonight. Is the first episode at 8:30?
No, tonight's the fourth episode.
What?
Yes.
See, I got to get the CBS block off my TV. That's all there is to it. That keeps all CBS shows away. Are you serious? Judy Greer has been on my TV for 3 weeks and I didn't know it?
It's true.
This is ridiculous.
I know.
I'm embarrassed and shocked. I had no idea it was on. Isn't that horrible?
We needed you in earlier.
Yes. I know, yes. Right? Well, yes. I was away. It's not your fault.
All right. We are spreading the word now. Apparently, Mad Love is on the air, and you should see it tonight at 8:30 on CBS. More with our guest, the beautiful Judy Greer, when we return after this on The Kevin and Bean Show. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday. The actress Judy Greer, who we love so much, in studio with us. Her show is called Mad Love. It airs tonight, Mondays, at 8:30 on CBS. I found out that Judy and I have something in common. We're both secretly teenage girls.
We got that. Yeah.
But something
that's
we don't
no
have
secret, Bean. It is with Judy, but not with you, however.
Yes, I didn't know about Judy being a teenage girl until just now. But the thing that we don't have in common is you don't watch very much television, which strikes me as odd for somebody in your profession, Judy.
I know, it's really lame. Thank God for Hulu, because when I would go and guest star on television shows, like, I had never seen them, so I have to watch the episodes just to get a sense of what they are.
Listen to this, Ralph. Judy's been on How I Met Your Mother, The Big Bang Theory, Modern Family, House, ER, Californication, Two and a Half Men, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, My Name is Earl, CSI Miami, Just Shoot Me, The Family Guy. And those are the shows that she's not starring in.
I know. Trust me, I know.
That's crazy.
Modern Family, didn't you play the ex-girlfriend?
I did.
What a great episode that
Ty
was.
Ty Burrell's, like his college sweetheart.
Yeah. And you were pretending when she was around, when his wife was around, that you were all cool, and then you were really trying to get him in the sack.
Totally wanted him to come to my hotel.
That was a funny episode.
That was funny. Now, we have to ask, since you were on Two and a Half Men, any Charlie stories for us?
Yes. But
that he's just a pro and he's wonderful
he's
and you love him.
Very professional. I will say that I made a coffee for myself and I put it down on set and he put his cigarette in it.
For real?
Yeah, but I said, like, that was my coffee. He's like, oh, I thought it was like an old coffee. I was like, it's a full cup and steam's coming out of it. And he was like, oh, I'm sorry. And I was like, I think you should go get me another cup of coffee.
Whoa.
And he did.
Well, you go, girl.
Have you been enjoying or have you been horrified by the last 2 weeks of Charlie Sheen news?
Well, at first I didn't know about it, and I was doing press for my show in New York, and everyone kept asking me about it, and I was like, what is everyone talking about? And then my friends were like, oh, yeah, we should have told you, because I just don't, like, I'm not always on the internet. I'm not like that. But then
are you
now,
Amish?
I know.
You don't watch television? I'm surprised you know our show. I'm surprised you have a radio.
I listen to the radio, I swear. That's all I do is I love the radio. And
but
I
not the
have
one that you plug in, though. You have a battery power or a hand crank or something,
it's a
right?
hand crank, and then it turns to solar during the day. Yeah. So it's
super
awesome.
A wood-burning radio that you have at home.
But now I'm kind of delighted by it, except if it makes it bad for my show, then I'll be really peeved.
Basically, it depends on, I mean, whatever's good for your show on CBS Monday night, that's what you want to happen to Charlie, right?
Pretty
live or die,
much.
You don't care, just you want a good time slot, right?
I really want a good time slot. I want a chance at a season two. So if Charlie can deliver that, then go for it.
All right.
By the way, Ralph, this will not surprise you. Listed under hobbies for Miss Greer includes knitting. Knitting is one of her hobbies.
She knit herself a radio. That's why she listens to us.
I just see her sitting around in the dark, meeting in front of a fire at night. The show is called Mad Love, believe it or not. It airs tonight on CBS at 8:30. I believe we have a clip. Beer Mug, do we need to set this up, or is this pretty self-explanatory?
Let's do it, huh?
All right.
Okay.
Yeah, let's.
How are you not making fun of yourself?
So you don't have to come if you don't want to.
No. I might drop by.
No, Larry. This is not an I might drop by party. I need a yes or a no.
Put me down as a maybe. Wait, hold on. It says co-hosted by Tiffany Haynes. That wouldn't be your blonde, hot boss that's totally into me, would it?
No, it'd be my blonde, hot boss that's totally married.
So we agree that she's hot. Good. Change me to a yes.
Tyler Levine, I love him.
He's amazing.
Very funny cast. Tyler Levine, Sarah Chalk, of course, who you know from Scrubs. Jason Biggs, who you know from American Pie. Great cast. The show looks funny. And real quick, before you go, Judy, because I don't know if it'll be another 12 years before we have you back.
Never.
You have a movie opening up this month in addition to your two TV shows on the air, Peep World. And what a great cast for this movie, too.
I know. That's crazy, that cast. We have Michael Hall, Sarah Silverman, Taraji Hansen, Rainn Wilson, Ben Schwartz. There's so many more people and names.
And who are you in this?
I play Michael C. Hall's wife in this. It's about a family who's about to celebrate. It takes place in one day. They're celebrating their father's birthday. And so it kind of follows, like, the brothers there's a sister. Sarah Silverman's a sister. It follows the siblings on this day preparing for their father's big birthday dinner.
Dysfunctional family?
Peep World.
It's a dysfunctional family. Thank you. It's called Peep World because the youngest brother has written a fictional novel called Peep World, but it's really based on all of his family's secrets. The siblings are all really angry with him, and this is all going to come out at this big dinner.
Awesome.
Oh, that sounds great.
Yes.
Movie opens up on Friday, March the 25th. The TV show Mad Love is on the air now Monday nights. Hey, that's tonight, kids, at 8:30 on CBS. We're so happy you finally made it. It's so great to meet you.
Best day ever. I'm going to celebrate all day. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks a lot.
Come back often, will you?
Okay, I promise I will.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye, Judy. I already miss Judy Greer. Remember how awesome it was when she was here?
Yes, I do. It was just like 3 minutes ago.
I miss her. 106.7 K-Rock, K-R-O-Q. It is 8:41. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, Fred Willard on the show tomorrow. System of a Down later in the week. Adam Carolla, comedian Jay Moore will be here. Simon Cowell, actor Aaron Eckhart. A lot of great guests this week on the Kevin and Bean Show. None of which are as exciting as our friend Harvey Levin from TMZ.com, who joins us every Monday on the program. Hey, Harvey, how are you, man?
Good morning, guys. Hi, Liz May.
Hi, Harvey.
What a full-time job just trying to keep up with all the nonsense that's coming out of Charlie Sheen's mouth and his Ustream and his television interviews and his Twitter feed.
That's just unbelievable. Unbelievable. Well, he's created an industry in the last
week. To over 2 million Twitter followers already.
Well, who wouldn't, right? Who wouldn't
look? Yeah, well, who wouldn't, exactly. Now,
or you can look at Kim Kardashian saying, it's such a beautiful day out, I may go shopping.
Right, exactly. Good point.
But, I mean, at least she's been on Twitter and she's been working her brand for years. Charlie Sheen, no one would have followed a month ago, and now everybody has to follow him.
You have to follow him.
You have to, I know.
I mean, it's like, you know, I am... That's all people want to talk to me about. And I just, it was like O.J. Simpson. It's like everywhere right. I go, they just talk to me about Charlie Sheen. And I was at the gym yesterday, and I was on the elliptical, and some woman starts, I hear her say, so what about Charlie Sheen? And I start to answer just because, like a reflex, and she says, I wasn't talking to you. And she was talking to me, but I was so used to it.
Oh,
but I think, and Ralph brought this up earlier today, Harvey, even though the first of the crazy Charlie Sheen interviews with Dan Patrick was only, I think, 2 weeks ago today, I think all of this nonsense with Charlie Sheen has all happened within the last 14 days.
No, he is
already starting to sense, and I'm starting to agree with him, a backlash toward him, toward this story, and toward Charlie. Are you getting any of that from your readers?
Yeah, I mean, what's happened is it's saturated. And this whole winning thing, it's too much. You know, it's like it's so saturated, it's becoming kind of trite. And he doesn't have a lot more to say. I mean, at a point, it gets redundant.
Yeah.
So what we get back to is something that you guys and I haven't talked about in a week, which is what is going on with his show anyway.
Right.
And I think it's going nowhere fast. I mean,
now there was talk that he was going to get in a room with Les Moonves and or Chuck Lorre and other people involved in Two and a Half Men on Saturday. It was supposed to be some sort of a summit where they were going to say, "All right,
no,
is there any way we can work this out?" Did not happen.
This is not true. It's not true. They are not. I mean, think about it. What do you really believe in the middle of all of this, where he's talking about cocaine and the goddesses and all of this stuff, you really think CBS and Warner Brothers, I mean, just kind of like step back for a minute, that they're going to say, okay, let's talk about bringing the show back. You think this is the time to do that?
Well, I just know how much money is involved, and I know they got 14 million viewers. You know?
This is not the time to do it. This is,
okay.
And you got to realize, too, they're dealing with an executive producer who is more powerful than Charlie. I mean, Chuck Lorre is somebody, for better or worse, Warner Brothers is hitching its wagon to Chuck because Chuck's got a string of hit shows. And Chuck doesn't need the money. He's already got two hit shows in the air currently. He's had a million others. And he is fed up with Charlie Sheen. So in terms of Warner Brothers and CBS, they're going to please Chuck Lorre right now.
That makes a lot of sense. All right, just let me ask one more question on Charlie Sheen, only because this didn't get much attention because it happened so fast. But at one point, there was a falling out with Bree Olson, one of the goddesses that lives at the mansion. She left at one...
Short-lived.
She left at one point and came back. What was that disagreement over?
You're really asking me to decipher the indecipherable.
Okay.
They had a momentary thing. We were told it was really nothing. The family is back together.
All right. Let's move on. You posted a new story today that I thought was fascinating because even though we've all been paying so much attention to Charlie Sheen over the past couple weeks, Lindsay's the one who's really in the thick of it right now with her upcoming trial. There is something that has happened that may actually end up helping Lindsay, right?
it may end up helping her. The, you know, the surveillance video got sold for $40,000 to Entertainment Tonight, which pretends it doesn't get involved in this stuff, and they bought it. And what's interesting about it is that the jeweler, which is the, quote, victim in the case, has now made more money than they ever would have with that cheap-ass necklace.
Oh, that's an excellent point.
And not that $2,500 is cheap, but a lot of people say that necklace was never even worth near that. So they've gone out, and they look mercenary. And what Lindsay's position is, look, this is a silent video. I am telling you, she says, I borrowed that necklace. It was on loan. And the jewelry store is saying, no, it was not on loan. So now you've got the prosecution is saddled with the, quote, victim that has now cashed in a huge way selling this thing, and they didn't want, the prosecution and the defense did not want them selling it, and they sent letters to them saying, come on, guys. So they look like crap, and that could ultimately help Lindsay. And this, in the next couple of days, her lawyer and prosecutor are going to the judge, and they're going to see about a plea bargain, and I think this is going to really help her in the plea negotiations, because I think the judge is going to say to the prosecutor, look, there's a big weakness in this case, and I think whatever Lindsay was going to get, she's going to get less now.
That makes an awful lot of sense, and like you said, Lindsay says she borrowed the necklace, and if there was some sort of conversation going on in the jewelry store that led to that, none of that would be represented on the tape because it's a silent movie.
That's right, and then the issue is, who do you believe? And then it's like, you know, you put the jeweler on the stand, and the first thing that Sean Hawley does is she says, so exactly how much money did you sell this tape for, and did you know that the tape was important in the case? And, you
yeah,
know,
exactly.
There you go.
All right, last question. I know you got to go, Harvey. What did you think of Miley Cyrus playing Lindsay Lohan and Justin Bieber on SNL this weekend?
I got to tell you, it felt a little the opening act, the I'm Not Perfect thing, felt a little defensive. I don't know how you guys...
I agree. I agree with that.
And she didn't have to do it. I mean, I don't think she... Look, I'm not her manager, so it just felt to me like it was, you know... She was defensive, and that she should have just gone, you know, get a
and she doesn't have to be defensive, because her scandals, rightly, as she pointed out, by the way, are pretty minor and
they're
are
really
already
minor.
Forgotten. Are already forgotten.
Yeah, and you know what it is? It's like when you're in the middle of it, it's like when a bell rings. It's that everybody else, you hear the bell and then it goes away. With the person who's involved in it, their head is in the middle of the bell, so it reverberates longer than it does with everybody else. And I think
right. That's
kind of what happened.
Good point. Harvey Levin, every Monday on the Kevin and Bean Show, TMZ.com, the entertainment website of record. Check your local listings for TMZ television. Harvey, thank you so much, my friend.
Hey,
have
guys.
A great week.
Thanks, Harvey.
Bye-bye. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Just announced this morning, Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness, back for a third time, this time Saturday, April 2nd at the Gibson Amphitheater, with Jimmy Kimmel, Patton Oswalt, Jay Mohr, Ray Romano, Jim Jefferies, Bill Burr, Steve-O, Doug Benson, the Axis of Awesome, and the Jimmy Kimmel House Band, Cleto and the Cletones. Tickets go on sale to street team members this Thursday at 10. Details at kevinandbean.com. It will sell out. It will be a great show. Don't miss it. Hey, Ralph Garman with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, man?
You know, I would venture a guess to say there's nowhere in the world you could see that lineup of comedians in one evening.
True.
Because just, it doesn't happen a lot in comedy. You don't have a lot of festivals where A-list comedians all get together and perform. Usually it's one guy's a headliner, and there's a couple, you know, lesser-known comedians under him, and they travel around the country. Mm-hmm. But this is a mammoth gathering of really top-notch comedians.
And that's why I love it so much. The first 2 years, it's not like a festival. You know, God bless all the bands that play our summer and winter shows, but let's face it, some you're not that excited to see. I couldn't leave my seat during the April Foolishness the first 2 years, because you don't want to miss the next guy, because everybody's great.
And a lot of those bands that do the summer and winter festival shows do a lot of them all over the country. You know, a lot of different radio stations put those shows on.
Right, right.
But these comedians, they're not getting together anyplace else but here, which is pretty cool.
It's pretty cool. It's pretty cool.
That's pretty cool.
Did you see Miley Cyrus on Saturday Night Live this weekend? Of course you
did.
I know you watched that show. I don't watch it, but apparently she was Justin Bieber, and she was Fergie, and
she
acquitted
sure
herself pretty well, by all accounts.
I thought she was fine. I thought she was good. I enjoyed her.
Yeah. I don't like her. Today's... Nope, not going to celebrity birthdays yet. This weekend's hot movies. Number one at the box office this weekend, Rango. $38 million in its debut. Did very well for itself. The Adjustment Bureau came in second place with a little over $20 million. Also pretty good. Then Beastly at $10 million. So that's those are your big money makers, the top three. Then it kind of drops off. Hall Pass came in at number four. Romeo and Juliet, unknown. The King's Speech, Just Go For It. I Am Number Four.
And Justin Bieber, Never Say Never, came in at number 10 at the box office this weekend. You know, I caught that I Am Number 4. We didn't have a chance to talk about it much, but I really like that movie.
Yeah, good.
I checked it out a lot. Casting news. Wonder Woman coming to television. Of course, you know Adrian Palicki from Friday Night Lights is going to be starring as Wonder Woman. Elizabeth Hurley, it's been announced, will play the villainess in the pilot episode. And Cary Elwes from Princess Bride and other projects, Saw and the like, he is coming to the cast of the TV show as well. So, starting to come together. They still have the same script, though, so I don't know how that's going to happen.
I don't have a good feeling about I haven't read that script you're talking about, but
I'll
just
send it
in
to
general,
I'll send it
Wonder
to
Woman doesn't seem to me like something that's going to make it in the 21st century.
You read it, then you tell me what you think. Charlie Sheen, I heard you talking to Harvey Levin about Charlie. Everyone's talking about Charlie, even Gary Busey. Apparently there was a kickoff party over the weekend for Celebrity Apprentice. Gary, of course, appearing on that show, the Donald Trump Celebrity Apprentice program. And he said that he believes Charlie's in a tailspin. Gary Busey said Charlie's in a tailspin.
I'm an F-18, bro.
I want Charlie to get up out of the mud and reclaim his life. I'm praying for him, said the pepperoni prophet. And it's nice to know Gary's pulling for you.
Clearly he didn't bring gum for everyone.
My favorite new joke was sent to me by a listener. How much cocaine did Charlie Sheen do, is the joke. And the punchline is, enough to kill 2.5 men.
Yeah!
See? Because that's the name.
It's the name of the show.
Real quick email before I get to celebrity birthdays. This came in from listener Kevin Dalton. I appreciate Kevin writing in. Apparently this was a celebrity sighting. Ralph, I was at Roscoe's Chicken and Waffles last night when Drew Barrymore and a massive entourage came in. She made a huge order for her group, but flipped out when she was told there was no more gravy. She made such a scene, the police had to be called. No arrests were made, but she was asked to leave. People were wondering what the real reason for the blow-up was, but I think it's pretty clear that Drew sure likes her gravy.
Yeah, yeah, Drew sure likes her gravy. Drew sure likes her gravy.
I mean, there's not much you can say other than genius.
Winning. Awesome. Kevin Dalton. Had a cool name,
That actually is pretty strong. I'm no fan of the bit, but that's pretty
strong. Had a cool name. Kevin Dalton. Sounds like he should be kicking ass with Patrick Swayze in Roadhouse. Today's celebrity birthday is Bryan Cranston's 55 years old today. Wanda Sykes celebrates her 47th birthday. Rachel Weisz is 40 years old. Jenna Fischer of The Office is 37, and Laura Prepon is 31. That's a trilogy of hotties right there celebrating birthdays. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
K-Rock World Tour 2011, destination number 7, System of a Down in Berlin, Germany. That's the good one, don't you know? Keep listening to win your tickets and see System of a Down at the Forum and get on the standby boarding list for destination number 7. Details at krock.com. It is 9:12. You are listening to The Kevin Bean Show on a Monday. Got a recap and an update on Celebrity Apprentice from last night with Donald Trump coming up in about 50 minutes or so here on The Kevin Bean Show. First, though, give me that music that means The Kevin Bean Afro Line is on the air. Here's our number, 323-520-AFRO, 24 hours a day. It's our voice mailbox. You can leave a message. It is 2011, as you've heard me say, but that doesn't stop the callers from calling and saying this.
2011.
They love to throw that and in there. They know it drives me crazy. Psycho Mike is on Dancing with the Stars. It debuts in 11 days. I know, we're all as shocked as you are. We're getting a lot of Afro calls about that.
Who the f*** is Mike Cuthbert?
That's a great question. Here's somebody who has seen some of the press that Mike has been doing for Dancing with the Stars.
God damn you, Psycho Mike. I'm watching you here on Access, and how can you be such an annoying loudmouth head on the Kevin and Bean Show and even on Loveline, and then just be this charming son of a bitch that looks spectacular on camera. I hate you, you gorgeous bastard.
I feel a man crush coming on with that listener. Mike gets away with a lot because he's pretty, that's for sure. Here's an invitation for our own Lisa May.
Hey, Lisa May, can I put my brown chicken in your brown eye? Get it? Brown eye.
Your thoughts, Lisa?
I'm dangerously dry.
That's what I thought, yeah. Earlier today, we fired up the Wheel O' Bad Animal Voices, and I think we've got a lifelong fan here.
Burn the Wheel of Animal Voices. Burn it, please. Oh, God. For the love of everything that's good and great, burn the goddamn Wheel of Animal Voices.
It is noted. We will do more Wheel of Bad Animal Voices. Thank you very much for the suggestion. I was out on vacation last week. Kevin's gone this week. That's how we do it. We stagger the vacations here in the spring. And a lot of people were very excited when they heard I wasn't on the radio. They thought that the good news they had been waiting for has finally happened, like this caller.
Sounds like we might want to dial up the hotline to heaven because, Bean's not there any time of day, so we get all giddy and say, hooray, because Bean is dead. Yes, Bean is dead. I'm dead.
Sorry to disappoint you. I also got a lot of emails from people who thought that I had finally successfully gotten off the grid, and they were very happy for me that I was able to escape civilization. But no, just vacation. Here's another call about that same topic.
So I'm hearing a podcast and no mention of what happened to my man, Dean. Then I realized he's having his penis removed so nobody could have sex in his house, including himself.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of people having sex in the house, that's for sure. Fortunately, neither is my wife. And finally, and I don't know how I get blamed for this, but here's another one about me.
Hey, B, I just got a flat tire. You.
Now, why is that my fault? What did I do? 323-520-AFRO. That's the Kevin and Bean Afro line 24 hours a day. We'll talk all things Celebrity Apprentice right after this on the Kevin and Bean. Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Monday. I miss Judy Greer. Remember when Judy Greer was on the show, Ralph?
Life was better.
Life was better. It smelled better too, I thought, having her in. I love her so much, and I will watch her show Mad Love on CBS tonight at 8:30, which I'm embarrassed to say as a Judy Greer fan, I did not realize was already on the air. So
yeah, you
she
shouldn't
told
be
us
embarrassed
that.
As a Judy Greer fan. You should be embarrassed as a Judy Greer interviewer that we didn't know that three episodes had already aired.
I know, but how did we miss that? You and I both pay attention to what's going on the TV. What kind of bad job is CBS doing? I mean, not trying to take any of the blame away from us. We deserve it. But still, they have not exactly driven the point home that that show's on the air yet.
No, I had seen the promos, and so that's naturally why I assumed the premiere was still forthcoming. And I was embarrassed to mention that I did not see it. But
well, she was delightful.
On top of the fact it's Judy and Biggs, who we love, Jason
yes,
Biggs.
That's right.
Tyler Levine from Reaper, who I love. And Sarah Chalk from Scrubs, who I love. So there's four people
it's got everything.
I really enjoy their work, and yet somehow I have missed that show. But I will not miss it tonight. I will tune in tonight for sure.
I'm going to watch tonight. The only thing I will say, and I don't mean this as a knock against Judy, is she was a little bit too excited to meet the King of Mexico today, and that scared me a little bit.
Yeah, that does make me question her judgment on every level.
All right. Let's wrap up today's show with a final look at the Showbiz Beat on a Monday Kevin and Bean program. Ralph is here. What's going on?
Because it is Monday, we always look at the weekend's hot movies, so I give you the top 10 box office from this weekend's Cineplex's Rango, $38 million. It made in its debut, making it number one at the box office. By far, made almost double the second place movie this weekend. The Adjustment Bureau, the new Matt Damon film, came in at number two with about $20 million. Beastly was third. Hall Pass, fourth. Then Gnomeo and Juliet was fifth. You see, it's Gnomeo because he's a garden gnome, see?
Right, got it.
And he falls in love with a girl named Juliet, but he's a gnome. So it's like Gnomeo and Juliet.
That's what it's like.
Oh, so good. Unknown was sixth. The King's Speech was seventh. Just Go With It was eighth. I Am Number Four was ninth, which is endlessly confusing. How can you be number four and be number nine? And Bieber, Never Say Never, coming in at number 10 this weekend. For those who were listening last week, we were talking to Topher Grace about his new movie, Take Me Home Tonight. It debuted at number 11 with $3.5 million, which I find unacceptable.
Was it not in very many theaters? Was that the problem?
I don't know how many theaters it was in.
People just avoided it.
But either way, it's unacceptable, and I plan to write a strongly worded letter to the vice president of show business.
Okay.
Have him correct that for us.
Good luck with that.
Thank you so much. Congratulations to Mike Myers and his longtime girlfriend, Kelly Tisdale. He's been seeing her since he ended his marriage with Robin Rusin back in 2007. They were married apparently last fall, and now the story just broke this weekend that they're together, so congratulations are in order.
Okay.
Did you see Celebrity Apprentice this weekend?
I did.
Oh, what a batch. What a batch of sweethearts.
Unbelievable.
That's Star Jones. She's going to be taken out.
I didn't think she was a bad player.
No. I didn't think Richard Hatch was a bad player, but I find him just an offensive human being on every level.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to hang out with either one of them. That's a good point.
Gary Busey was at the kickoff party for Celebrity Apprentice over the weekend, and People.com
that was his comment.
Interviewed Gary, and he said that he is concerned for Charlie Sheen.
Uh-oh.
They should use the Busey scale as to whether someone needs to be institutionalized or not, I think.
Bring it.
Introduce Charlie to Gary Busey and say, Gary, what do you think?
oh, he's in trouble, man.
It's like, boom, right in the padded wagon, haul him off to some sort of facility, because Busey is the barometer.
Charlie, any thoughts on what Busey has to say?
Bring me Dr. Clown Shoes. I mean, who are these people? What right do they have to sit in judgment?
Well, Gary Busey has the right, because he's been there. Wherever you've been, he's been.
And Gary Busey is Dr. Clown Shoes, by the way. What's one of his many characters that he plays.
By the way, apparently somebody claiming to be Gary Busey got a producer Alex on the phone a little while ago.
What?
Yes, somebody called and said that they were Gary Busey, and Alex had a long conversation. I had no idea what the guy was talking about, which leads me to believe it probably was Gary Busey. But, I mean, he's one of the celebrities that I would absolutely believe would just randomly be calling up radio stations.
Hold on! How did we not just cut into whatever we were doing live and put him on the air?
Well, I think Alex is going to source it and find out if it's really, in fact, him. And if it is, we're going to book him. We're going to have him on the show this week. Yeah, we're going to talk to him, but not today.
You don't harness the force of nature that is Gary Busey by booking and scheduling. You take him as he comes. It's like saying, oh, no time for rain today, God. Just hold it up there in the skies. We'll take your rain when we're ready for it. No, you must just let it flow over you.
So it's not a matter of convenience. It's a matter of urgency. If Gary Busey has something to say, you let him say it? You give him an open mic? Okay, well, I didn't know.
I had no idea this was going on behind the scenes. I'm crestfallen.
Well, I think we're going to talk to him, though. I mean, if it's really Gary Busey, we'll have him on.
Oh, it's not the same. It's not the same as Gary just calling you up out of the blue, wanting to talk to you.
And by the way, I have mixed emotions. I don't know how to feel watching him on Celebrity Apprentice, because we love to make fun of people who are in his condition, but it's so not his fault. I mean, the guy practically lost his life and his head in that motorcycle accident. It's all brain damage. It's not like he went out and screwed it with drugs, right?
Well, he did do that, too.
I mean, he added that on top of it, but I'm saying, is it most of his problem as a result of his accident?
I don't know.
And his face is just
from.
So like Frankenstein's monster, right?
Oh, I mean, come on. Yeah, I can tell you really feel bad for the guy.
I do.
Comparing
that's what
him
I'm
to
saying.
Frankenstein's monster.
But that's what I'm saying, is it makes me uncomfortable, because I like to mock those people, especially the handicapped and the retarded, but you can't really do that with Busey because it's so much not his fault.
You're a horrible person on so many levels. First of all, I love the Buse.
I do too.
And I don't mock him. I love him because he speaks his mind. Whatever is going on in there, it comes out of his mouth, which is magical to me. Mm-hmm. And I am more on his side the more I see him. I find him not an object of ridicule in my home.
What about last night when he was suggesting that the world would be a better place if everyone wore their underwear on the outside of their pants?
Yes. Do we know he's wrong? Have we ever tried that? Has everyone ever put their underwear on the outside and walked around? Do we know what kind of results we could get from that?
It seems to negate the purpose of the underwear, which is to give you some sort of a buffer between what's going on in your body and what's going on in your pants.
I would take the genuine, unfiltered, organic crazy of Gary Busey over the manufactured, look at me, I'm desperate for attention crazy of Charlie Sheen any day of the week.
I see that. No, I understand.
I am a big Busey fan, and I may quit now that I found out that you guys have muzzled the magic that is Busey, that you did not immediately put him on our show.
Do
I
you
find
remember
unacceptable.
Two seasons ago, when he was on Celebrity Rehab,
yes.
And he was convinced that he worked there,
yes.
And that he was there
and
to help cure everybody else.
I believe he believed that with all of his heart and genuinely wanted to help people. I promised you that's actually how he felt. And I am moved by his eagerness to raise money for charity on Celebrity Apprentice. That's all he really cares about, is helping people.
Right.
Love Gary Busey.
Well, you'll have the chance to tell him very soon.
No,
apparently.
You've ruined it. You've ruined
Alex
it
Alex believes it was really him, and that NBC is going to confirm that. And then
I don't need NBC to get in the middle between me and Busey. I need an unfiltered, I'm right from the source. I need just to tap into that Busey energy and just have it flow over me. I may start the Church of Busey. That's how much I love Busey.
Okay.
All right. Last week, we introduced that new song from Kim Kardashian, Jam.
Yeah.
They Play in My Jam was the chorus, of course, of that song.
I have a little bit of that if for folks who weren't with us last week.
All right.
You want to hear some?
Yeah, sure. And they play in my jam. They play in
my jam. They play in my jam. And it goes on like that for like 4 minutes.
Yes, it is horrendous and repetitive. But as an antidote for that, as to cleanse your palate from that meal of tripe, we've got some delicious new music from Britney Spears that was, it sort of snuck out last week. Wasn't supposed to be dropped last week, but apparently it got out, and now everybody's playing it. And I say, this is how a real artist does it. This is how someone who has something to say, something important to say, who's not just endlessly repetitive with some bogus prefab dance track behind it. This is an artist at work. This is the new Britney Spears song, Till the End of the World.
I can't take it, take no more. Never felt like this before. Come on, get me on the floor. DJ, what you waiting for? Oh.
I don't understand, Ralph. Don't ruin it. Listen to these lyrics.
But it sounds like the Kim.
Yeah. Tell it. Testify, Britney. Uh-huh.
But isn't it just the same?
Now bring it home, Britney. Bring it home. Oh, yeah. Hit that note. Oh, what a talent. What a talent. What a gift.
But she with is. All that processing on her voice, it could be Barack Obama. It could be your dog, Reggie. It doesn't matter. You can't even tell.
It's so hideous. I misspoke. Well, it's Till the World Ends, by the way. It's the name of the title, not Till the End of the World. And it
same
is,
thing.
It matters not because it is just horrific. It's as if they brought her in the studio and go, Brittany, go, just make this sound. And she went, we got it. And then they just programmed it in and they put it onto a keyboard and they just made a song. I just, what's...
I don't know what's. I really don't. I don't get it anymore. What did I say earlier? I miss the golden days of Whip My Hair. That's back when music was good.
I don't want to believe that I'm the guy on the porch telling the kids to get off my lawn, but even with dance music, don't you sort of have to demand a certain amount of competency? Just someone who can sing and write and produce and just someone who can make music of some value?
I'll just tell you, the Kim Kardashian and the Britney Spears, to me, they show you how good Lady Gaga is at what she does.
I suppose
where she
that's
actually
true.
Can sing, and she actually has a melody, and she actually has words.
And Katy Perry, too. Katy Perry.
Same
is,
thing, yeah.
She's a freaking genius compared to these women. All right, today's celebrity birthdays, Bryan Cranston. Speaking of geniuses, what a great actor. Breaking Bad, what a terrific show. 55 years old today. Wanda Sykes is 47. Rachel Weisz is 40. She's a great-looking 40, by the way. Jenna Fisher of The Office is 37. And Laura Prepon's got herself a new TV series. She is 31 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman, and walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Big show tomorrow. Come on back for an all-new Kevin and Bean program, including more tickets for you to win for April Foolishness. Just announced today on The Kevin and Bean Show, happening April 2nd at the Gibson Amphitheater in Universal City. This is our third annual comedy festival, and it's as great as the others. I hope you'll check it out. KevinandBean.com for Jimmy Kimmel and his house band, Cleto and the Cletones. Also, Patton Oswalt, Jay Moore, Ray Romano, Jim Jeffries, Bill Burr, Steve-O, Doug Benson, and the Axis of Awesome tickets go on sale for street team members this Thursday at 10. We'll talk about that some more tomorrow. The great Fred Willard joins us on the program tomorrow. Also, thanks for that tweet, Bean. I don't know that we're going to have time for that.
Oh, we'll have time.
Facebook is now breaking up more relationships than it's putting together. That's interesting. Would you like to take that back and more? Tomorrow morning right here on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.